Right, so I gave you some Rockbusters. Here's the answers in case you've been, struggling. So the first one was about a woman who was on holiday. She was having a lovely time in the busy part of Mallorca. She got mugged. The initials were RP. So you break it down. What's the busy part of Mallorca? It's a city. Palma. She got robbed. She was a woman. I said, what's happened there? They robbed her in Palma. Robber in Palma. Robber Palma. Robert Palmer is the answer to that one. All right. Well done if you got it. And a few of you did. I'm just doing this so you understand how I got to the answer. Right. Second one. The steps that you use to get into a field, when you go from field to field. You have those little, little steps, and they were covered in fur and pubes and that. And I said, "Oh, what are them then? What's gone on there?" The initials were HS. They were covered in pubes and fur. What is that? That's hair, isn't it? It's hair. The step that you use to get into a field is a style. They're very hairy, hairy style, right? Hairy styles. Harry Styles. That's what we've got there. And then the last one, this was a tricky one. The old cheap supermarket. There's some nutter walking around using a toilet as a hat. So he used a loo as a cap, a loo cap, a Lewis, a Lewis cap in Aldi, the supermarket. Lewis Cap Aldi. Lewis Cap Aldi. Lewis Cap Aldi. Well done. If you got those three, it's a hard one that. But yeah, well done. Like I say, no prizes in that, but killed a bit of time, didn't it? Look after yourself, wash your hands. All right, see ya. All right, how's it going? Seeing as a lot of people are staying indoors, a bit fed up, don't know what to do. Got to keep yourself busy, got to keep your brain active, or it turns to mush, doesn't it? So I thought I'd bring back Rockbusters. Right? Anyone who used to listen to the radio show about 20 odd years ago might remember it. It's where I give a cryptic clue and some initials to a band or an artist. And you have to work out who that band or artist is from the cryptic clue. So yeah, something to do, isn't it? So the first one, the clue is there's a woman wandering about in the busy part of Mallorca, and she gets mugged. What has happened there? What did someone do? Did someone do to her? Right? The initials RP. She was on holiday having a lovely time in the busy part, not far from the airport. And yeah, she got mugged. What did someone do to her? RP. Right? That's the first one. Second one. Do you know those steps that they have in fields to get over into the next field? There were some of them, but they were like covered in fur, pubes, and that. Pretty dangerous to use, quite slippy. Who's the band or artist? HS. HS, those steps you get in a field to get you into another field, covered in pubes and fur and that. What's going on there? HS. Easy one that. And the last one, there's some lunatic in a reasonably priced supermarket. Who's wearing a toilet for a hat? Right. Bit of a loon, walking about a supermarket, very cheap supermarket, wearing a toilet for a hat. What's he doing there? That's LC. LC. Right? Something to do. You might not be asked. You don't want to play. It doesn't matter. If you know any of the answers, pop them in the comments below. See how you get on. There you go, Rockbusters back for 2020. All right, good luck with that. There's no prizes or anything, just something to do. Right, see ya. Just before all this lockdown kicked off, yeah, I saw him on, I think it was like the 10th of March or 11th of March or something. And then here we are, 5.5 weeks on. Haven't really left the house since. But it was good. He's in his 70s now, and yet he still sounds as good as he did back then. And as smart, he's always been one of them blokes who's been able to wear a suit. You know what I mean? And he don't look awkward in it. Oh, which is something I've never been able to do. I just can't. I don't know what it is. I don't know what happens to me. But do you know, like when you balance something on a cat and it doesn't like it? It know, do you know, you just put like a little bit of a shoelace on its head or something, it holds itself odd and it doesn't quite understand what's going on. I'm like that when I wear a suit. I just hold myself oddly. But and it's funny actually, because Suzanne's been talking to an old mate of hers who she went to uni with. That's what's been going on it really during this lockdown. People coming out of the woodwork and getting in touch with you and that. I suppose it's a good thing, but I suppose people have more time on their hands to catch up with people when normally they're busy and all that. But the last time Suzanne saw her, I think, was at a wedding, like 17 years ago. And a memory of me at that wedding is I was the only bloke wearing combat pants to a wedding. So I've never been able to wear a suit. I'd rather look odd and stand out wearing something comfortable than trying to fit in and not being comfortable. It's pointless. So I thought I'd just play a couple of songs, also give you a couple of Rockbusters. It's something to kill a bit of time. I did some a couple of weeks ago. You like them? So here we go. If you remember Rockbusters, I'll give you some initials and a cryptic clue. You let me know who the artist is from the clue that I give you. You don't win anything. It's just a bit of fun. So the first one, the initials are AG. That's AG. And the clue is, how would you describe Kermit? Right? I mean, you might describe Kermit in loads of different ways. What's one of the ways you might describe Kermit to someone, you know, out of the Muppet Show? So the initials AG there, right? The second one, the initial is M, and of the artist of the band. And the clue is, I might phone you, I might not. All right? I might phone you, I might not. All right? And then the last one, initials DL. DL. And the cryptic clue is, the Australian asked the impressionist to do one of those people who's, you know, who's got that disease, whose arms and legs fall off. Right? Who is it? The band of the artist, the initials DL, and the cryptic clue is, the Australian asked the impressionist to do one of those people with the disease whose arms and legs fall off. All right, there's a bit of working out for you to do there. Kill a bit of time, and I thought I'd play this. It's been stuck in my head. I've been whistling it for a few days, driving Suzanne up the wall. It's Judy Teen by Steve Harley. Good one. Wash your hands.
the spiders from Mars. Don't know why they've got to be from Mars. I can't imagine spiders from Mars being any more weirder than spiders from Earth, to be honest. They're just odd, aren't they? How do you make them weirder? I've been going to YouTube a lot during the lockdown, and there's two things I go to if I'm not actually looking for anything, you know, in particular. There's Big Waves, right? You know, you get like fishermen or those blokes who are shifting freight out in the North Sea. And they do videos of the waves that are outside during bad weather, and it's mental. It's like 50-foot waves, and they're just... it just doesn't bother them at all. You can hear them chatting to each other, arguing over a game of cards. Meanwhile, outside, there's waves, like, you know, the end of that film, Deep Impact, and it just doesn't bother them. Yet, it freaks me. It freaks me well out to know that waves are that big and are bashing about on the same planet that I'm sat on. So there's that I like looking at, and spiders. And they sort of terrify me, but at the same time, I like looking at them. And I think the thing that freaks me out is the legs. Because sometimes a spider can be quite big, you know, the body. But I can pick things up like beetles and stuff like that, that have the same size body. But it's them legs. Just big. It's the big legs. Which is weird, because, you know, one of the things that can make a woman sort of attractive is long legs. And it doesn't freak you out. And you, maybe it would if a woman had eight legs. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, just Google... the Goliath spider, will you? Look at the size of that. There's one on the internet. Just, I think it's the first image that comes up. It's sat in a frisbee, and its feet are hanging over the edge. It's got kneecaps. Have a look at it. I mean, obviously, don't. If you're one of them people who doesn't like spiders and you can't even look at them, then don't. But it is mental. Right, the other day I did some Rockbusters. I thought I'd just give you the answers. The first one, the initials were AG. The clue was, how would you... what did I say? I said, what's one of the ways you describe Kermit, right? How does Kermit look? He's green, isn't he? He's all green. Kermit's all green. All green. Al Green. Al Green is the answer. Like I say, it's a little bit cryptic. You have to think about it. So well done if you got that one. Second one, the initial was M. The clue was, I might phone you, I might not. So what's going on there? What's another word for calling someone? Bell you, right? You might bell someone. I might bell you later. So if you might phone them, you might not. You may bell them. Mabel. Maybell. Mabel. That's Mabel. Who's out at the minute. It's Nina Cherry's kid, that, isn't it? That's when you know you're getting old, isn't it? When pop stars you listen to as a kid have had kids, and they're now pop stars. Madness. So, yeah, Mabel for the second one. And then the last one was DL. The clue was, the Australian asked the Impressionist to do one of those people whose arms and legs fall off. So what are they called? They're called lepers, aren't they? Lepers. If you're Australian, you'd probably say lipper. So the Impressionist had asked the person to do one of them people, so they're asking them to do a lipper. Do a lepper. Do a lipper. A few of you got that. No problems. So well done. Something to do, wasn't it? And might do some more. Especially if this lockdown carries on. So, well done. Time for another tune. Thought I'd play this. It's quite apt for what's going on. Bit of John Lennon, song called Isolation. people are dying all the time, and you know there's only so many places you can die. So I suppose it's going to happen now and again, isn't it? Anyway, how's it going? Lockdown's still sort of on, isn't it? When you can nip out, a bit of a wonder, but it's not normal yet, is it? So that's why I thought I'd still play you a couple of tunes, have a quick chat. Not doing Rockbusters today. Having a break from that. But I've been getting a lot of messages on Facebook. Suddenly got like a load of messages coming in at the same time about one topic. And when that happens, you sort of go, this is sick. Like Richard Branson, that's what he says. He says he gets loads of posts, loads of phone calls, and he hasn't got time to go through them all. So he waits until the message gets to him or something. It's like, if it's important, you'll eventually find out. Anyway, I can't look at every message you get on Facebook. But suddenly, there was the same message from loads of different people. So I thought, right, this must be important. What is it? And I clicked on it, and it was a bit of monkey news. I don't know if you've seen it. I'll play it here so you can see it. It's this. This little monkey comes round the corner on a motorbike. He grabs the kid, runs off. And everybody was like going, this is terrible. What is going on? There's a monkey kidnapping a kid. But I don't know if I can turn the audio up so you can hear it. But if you hear it when it first comes round the corner, to me that sounds like a siren. And I'm wondering, I don't know where this is, it's sort of Asia or something like that. I'm wondering if this is how they're dealing with the lockdown. Like I say, if you play it back from the beginning, right, you're hearing a siren there. That bike's got some sort of siren on it, like, and that bike is a proper little motorbike, that, a monkey-sized motorbike. So I'm wondering whether in Asia, to deal with the amount of people ignoring lockdown, they've got monkeys doing the rounds and making sure people stay in. And I think that's what's gone on here. He's come tearing round that corner there, down this alleyway, and he's found this family who should be at home, should be behind doors, and they're not. They're fanning about in an alleyway. And the way he's... the way he comes tearing down, it's like he's caught these before. He's annoyed with them. He's livid. I mean, he's probably gone for the kid, because he knows that if he texts the kid, the adults will follow. The way he just, like, gets off his bike again, like, how many times have I told you? I mean, a little motorbike's a giveaway. That's a monkey-sized moped that it's been issued with. Little monkey law enforcers. I suppose it's good, because you're not going to argue with it, because it can't speak English or wherever this is. So it's just going to go in and try and do the job, shift the people. And I think that's what's gone on here. But you see, I see things like that, and I think, hang on, is that starting to creep in here as well? Because all this talk about loads of PPE kit, it's like they've got loads of it now. There's like a mask, a face mask, a thing they wear on their head, a thing all over the body. And it makes you wonder if in our hospitals we've got little monkeys walking about the wards helping out, and you've no idea because they've got that much PPE on. You can't see the little chimp sat under there. Do you know what I mean? But, I mean, help's help. And I suppose, when times are bad, everyone's got a chimp in, you could say. Anyway, monkey news. There you go. I've always been a fan of a song with a good story, and that's up there for me. If you don't know it, it's a story about a bloke who he must be married with his girlfriend or whatever, goes off to war, comes back, and his legs are all done in. The relationship goes a bit downhill. She starts leaving him at home. She's going out getting rat-arsed every night. He's fed up. And he wants to... I think by the end of it, he wants to do her in. He's had enough. Just a good example, really, of how things can change. At some point, their relationship was all rosy. And then it's... It all changes. I mean, we're all being tested at the minute, aren't we, really? With this virus thing going around. Stuck at home. With your partner. I've been alright. We've had the odd day. Me and Suzanne had an argument the other day about who had the biggest head. I don't want to go into full details, but of who had the bigger head. But it got to the point of getting out a tape measure and measuring the circumference. And it just all happened because I ordered a cap that stated that one size fits all, and it fucking doesn't. I just wish they'd sort that out, because now I've got to fanny about and send it back. One size fits all. Annoys me. But then again, I suppose that's what life's about, innit? Getting annoyed, being happy, being worried. Well, that's a lot, innit? Being scared. That's living. I do like a good moan. And I do like a worry, in a way, for a little bit. It's a bit of a pastime, keeps your brain active. I always remember a few years back, I used to think about death a lot. You know, we all sort of come into the world in the same way, don't we? But the way you go out, you don't know. You don't know what your exit strategy is going to be. And I'd let that worry me. What's going to happen? Is it just going to be in my sleep? Or is it going to be something horrible? It mainly happened when I could hear a clock ticking. It was a little reminder that time was just, you know, ticking away, and that's my life. And yeah, it used to bother me. And then I read a story that made me change my mind, and it was about a bloke, and he died in his bed when a cow fell through the roof, through the ceiling, landed on him and you know, squashed him dead. And for a bit I was like, oh god, that's really bad, that's probably going to be me, that I have something horrible like that. And but the more I thought about it, the more I thought it's not actually that bad. It's not like you know, an illness that drags on and on, and you're getting weaker, and you're just miserable, and you're sat there just, you know, waking up every day thinking, oh, I'm still here. How long is this going to go on? It just happened quick. And even to the point of, even if he heard that cow coming through the ceiling, I don't think he would have had any worry, because I bet his brain was telling him he was still asleep and it was a dream. Because why would a cow be coming through the ceiling? So it sort of made me realise that it's the people who are left behind who is more upsetting for, innit? I mean, it's the wife, innit, who has to deal with the upset of losing her husband. And on top of that, she's got like a hole in a roof that she's got to sort out. She's got to get a tile around. She's got to have the sort of loft rebuilt. Get a plasterer in to sort out the ceiling. There's a lot of hassle there. And even before all that, getting a cow out of the bedroom, because that would have been wandering around, wouldn't it? And that's not an easy task, shifting one of them, especially if it was upstairs. If it was upstairs in the bedroom, they don't go downstairs, do they? Cows. There's something about the legs. I think they can go upstairs, but they can't walk down. So all that hassle, he's no idea, he's gone by this point. She's got all this shit to deal with. And that's, it was after reading that story that I realised that, you know, it's pointless worrying about when and where you're going to die, because you'll never know. But all I did was, I moved the worry. I've talked before about the worry hole. And you've got a space in your head that you've got to fill with worry. So I went from worrying about how I was going to die and where I was going to die to just worrying that Suzanne will die before me, which I wouldn't want. Because at the end of the day, death is more of a ball ache for the people who are left behind, which will definitely be the case for Suzanne, because she's got to try and find a coffin that will fit my big fat head in it. So that'll serve her right for taking the piss. A little bit of karma. Right, I wanted to talk about UFOs today, and I haven't. I've sort of ping-ponged around a bit there. Maybe do it next time. This is a little bit linked to how I started thinking about it. I saw it on some BBC documentary the other night, and it's Curtis Mayfield, and they were saying how he was doing a gig in America, and the lighting rig fell on him, and he was paralysed from the neck down. So there you go, you see, you never know. Good song this, though. Superfly. See you later. DJ Shadow. With this time, I'm going to try things my way. And the story is that the vocal of that was just found in some building on a bit of old tape. And no one knows much about it. I think all they know is that the some fella called Joe. I think the name Joe was written on the tape. But other than that, they don't know anything about it. Bit of a mystery. Which I thought was a nice way to sort of chat about another mystery. The mystery of UFOs. I've sort of been watching quite a bit of footage on the internet of UFOs recently. I think it's just a good escape, isn't it? You know, everything's a bit sort of shit at the minute, isn't it? No matter where you're living, no matter what country you're in, everything just seems a little bit shitty. So sort of looking at otherworldly stuff is just a good escape. And there's loads of footage out there. Some of it you kind of go, oh, that looks good. Some of it is a joke. I mean, there was one that I clicked on. That was a bloke that it was clearly off his tits because he was filming something out of his bedroom window. He was going, there's a bright light. Oh, look, I can't believe it. I'm being visited. There's a bright light. And it was clearly a street light. So there's a lot of knobheads like that. But now and again, you get some footage or hear an interview or something that you go, well, this confirms it for me. Like, you know, there's other stuff out there. And it was a bit of a chat that Joe Rogan was having. You know, the Joe Rogan podcast. He was chatting to some commander who was flying about in a fighter jet. And he was whizzing about, enjoying himself. Turns his head and sees this UFO just floating about above the water. And he was like, what's that? And now this fella's seen loads of stuff. If there was new technology out there that we don't know about, he probably would know about it. But he saw this thing and he was like, I don't know what that is. And it started ping-ponging about all over the shop. He said it was shaped like a tic-tac and it moved about like nothing he's ever seen move about before. It was like going left, right, up, down, and at high speed as well. It just didn't make sense to him, right? They got some radar footage of it. I'll just show you that. This was it here. It was like moving along at high speed and it was just turning at the same time, which is a bit odd. But who knows what it was? But I've had a theory for a while. Octopus. If you look at them, they look a bit alien-ish, don't they? This UFO was floating above the sea. So there's a connection there already. All the arms, which, you know, would probably come in handy. If you're flying about something that commander saw, I imagine that's got a lot of joysticks, a lot of buttons to press. You need a lot of arms. So there's that. And I saw this video ages ago. Yeah, I'll show you this mimic octopus. Right. Now the skill that it's got is like, let me just show you this. Right. So this diver here, there he is in the water. Swimming along, minding his own business, doing a bit of filming, not much to see really. And he just sees this little bit of seaweed, thinks nothing of it. There's a little fish, little black and white fish. Oh, that's nice, there's not much else here. I'll just film that black and white fish there, moving about. And oh, good Jesus, what is that? An alien. That is an alien there. Let's just rewind it again. It goes from that, just looking like a blob of moss, to that. That is amazing. And off it shoots, look. Going back to Planet Zonk. And think about it, it makes sense, doesn't it? If you were an alien, where would you land? You wouldn't bother landing on land, on Earth. Because it's not going to be left empty for long, is it? Is it? You're going to find a little plot, you'll go, this is all right. And before you know it, bulldozers will turn up and, you know, build a new Starbucks or something. So they're better off going into the sea. And there's more of it. The Earth's 70% water. So if you're going to sort of base yourself anywhere, you're better off in the water. Especially at the minute, it seems like one of the safest places now, doesn't it? I don't think they get the virus underwater. And I tell you another thing that makes me think that I'm right here. If you Google big octopus, what comes up is the Pacific octopus, right? Where was this Tic Tac UFO spotted? Over the Pacific. Makes you think, doesn't it? Could be wrong, or could be right. Which sets us up nicely for this next song. Bit of Public Image Limited, Rise. I'll leave you with that.
I'm quite happy with this isolation thing. Because like I say, I wasn't joking. I don't know loads of people. And I'm happy, you know, I've got Suzanne in the house. There's always a job to do. It's been 3 weeks here now. I don't know how long you've had it, but 3 weeks, and there's still loads of jobs to do. Loads of jobs about the house, and I'm quite happy with that. Today I've done. I mean, I've been so busy, but just today, I've descaled the kettle, yeah, which needed doing.
What's descaling a kettle?
Do you drink much tea over there, or is not
a... No, we do. We do. Bit. I've just never descaled a kettle.
Well, you kind of know that your kettle needs descaling. When you have a cup of tea and you can sort of see a sort of a film on top of the tea, that's when your kettle needs descaling. You just sort of put this liquid in it.
Yeah.
And it gets rid of all the hard water that's built up and sort of gone hard and clung to the kettle. And it means that it's not boiling the water that well. Okay. So you descale it. So that was the first job. This was about...
That would have taken 10 minutes. What do you do with the rest of the 23 hours?
Yeah, and how long are you going to spend talking about it?
That was job one.
Oh, yeah, job one.
Then that got me in the mood. You've got to start off the day with a small job like that. Nothing that overfaces you. I knew that I had to put another coat of paint on a light outside. I did the first coat yesterday. So that was on my mind. I thought, I've got to do that in a bit. But I want a cup of tea first. But I saw the kettle. But this needs descaling, I'll get that done. Whilst I was doing that, I looked at the toaster. Now the toaster, when was the last time you entered your toaster?
I did it yesterday because there was all crumbs and crap everywhere. There was so much. Exactly.
Well, it never ends. To be honest, when you empty it and you take it back, there's still crumbs in it. You can never get them all out. It's a job that never is actually completed. So
it's a never-ending toaster.
Out into the garden. I emptied it. Loads of birds are getting some crumbs, some burnt toast and what have you. So they're happy. Yeah. Took it back in. Right? So yeah. I got that done.
Okay.
I then did my painting job that I told you about. Then I noticed on the bathroom door, the handle kept it in a tile when I opened it. So I thought, I can sort that out. I can glue a little bit of rubber to the wall so it's not hitting the, you know what I mean? So the handle doesn't hit the tile and could end up cracking the tile.
Faith, are you regretting asking this question yet?
No, I'm not. I'm into it. I love this.
Keep going.
I cleaned the sink in the garage. There's a sink and it had a build-up of hard water on that. I got some stuff on that to do. What else have I got to do?
Oh,
I got my steamer out and steamed the shower cubicle because there was some sort of mould build-up. So all I'm saying is there's loads and loads of things that you never get round to doing. And they're not massive jobs, but you've always got something else to do. But when you're stuck in the house, that's what I'm enjoying, getting the house in order.
Oh, just quickly.
Can I ask you this quickly? I'm dying to ask you this, Carl. I'm going to guess you're not a phone person. Like, you're not someone who welcomes phone calls or drop-ins. And are you good at texting people back?
If there's a question mark on the text, I'll answer it. If it's just a...
I'm not into sort of just chatting, because I would prefer a phone call. And if it's something important, I think you've got to talk to someone. If it's just, you can't have sort of nothing, you chat on text, I don't think. That's a, do you want to chat, innit? And then you make the call.
Right.
But I don't do that many phone calls. I speak to my mum and dad every other day. That's They're good. All right. But not much is going on at the minute. I mean, they were telling me that they've ordered some meat from the butchers and they're bringing it round. But no one's doing anything apart from me. These gaming kettles, emptying toasters.
Promoting.
But my mum and dad got sick of hearing that 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So it's not a time for, oh, where have you been and what have you been up to?
Well, you're working and you're promoting Sick of It, which is part of ABC iView's Easter Comedy Binge. You can stream the entire series, 1 and 2, from tomorrow over our Easter long weekend on ABC iView. And Carl, as a former radio guy, is there anything in there that you think would be a good phone topic? I heard maybe, when did you last clean your toaster? 13 10 60. I mean, can you think of a good question that might come from the chat we've had if we wanted to do a little phone topic?
Well, I've been doing a little bit of quizzing just to keep my brain active.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you a question, and then that you can put that out there.
Thank you.
And then,
right. Go for it.
And then we end the call, do we? That's
yeah, yeah. You'll be done then. We'll let you go.
Right. So the oldest, the timepiece with the less parts. You know, like a watch or whatever. Yeah, a timepiece. Yeah. A timepiece with the least amount of parts is a sundial. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a sundial is?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the thing you have in the garden.
Okay,
it's the oldest thing, and
it casts shadows to tell the time.
Correct. So that's the least pieces of a timepiece.
Wrong question.
It's just got that one metal rod. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the one with the most pieces?
So this cuckoo clock.
This is a quiz, but doesn't this go out to the audience, or do we just answer it now?
I reckon it's good for the audience. I think they've got.
But then you're not here to answer it. So,
okay. Is there an answer?
What's the answer?
Well,
I'll give you the. I don't want to give you the answer now.
Yeah, we'll play a song.
Do you want us to call you back?
We'll play a song. Someone can tell us the.
You can text me with this. He's got a question mark.
Okay. All right. So we'll see how we go with that. 13 10 60. Carl has said, "Oh God, it was the longest question ever." Something to do with a timepiece with the most amount of what?
Working parts.
The
most parts of sort of parts.
Okay.
Yeah. So if the sundial has a
big
the least amount of parts.
Okay.
How many, what timepiece has the most parts?
Fascinating. All right. If you can answer that question, 13, 10, 60. Is there a prize, Carl?
No.
Okay.
Carl.
See you later.
Learn how to use Zoom, bro.
Yeah, you weren't on Zoom that whole time, so we can't use any of that.
What do you mean?
Well, oh, sorry, mate.
There's a camera where we can see you, but you can't see us. See where it says Carl on the side of them?
I can see you. I can see
you. Yeah, but we can't see you.
No, I know. Well, I've turned the camera off because I don't like the idea. If I had the camera on, you wouldn't be listening to what I'm saying. You'd be looking at what wallpaper I've got and all that.
Well,
that's the whole point of a Zoom.
No,
that's the whole point.
Then you get people going, oh, I don't, look at that. Thing then, what's that? Why is he wearing that?
I'm in my daughter's bedroom.
Why aren't you in the station?
Well, it's because
we're in lockdown.
We're in the middle of a pandemic.
God, he's got that bad over there.
What? That's his daughter's bedroom.
That's worldwide.
No, you can go. People here on the radio are in the studio on that. It's not that bad.
Okay, you're not a health exposed person.
No, that's true.
Stay home.
Right, right.
Just put the video on. I want to see where you're at.
Can you just turn your video on quickly?
No, exactly. That's it. You start looking at your plug sockets and everything. I don't.
Mate, you've been fixing your whole house for the last week. It should look good.
But it's not ready yet.
I don't know what he's got in there that he doesn't want us to see.
I just want to know how. I just want to know what timepiece has the most parts.
Okay, well we're going to answer it on the phones.
Tell us now.
Now tell us. We're off. We're off.
Right. So the question was, just to recap in case you just tuned in. The timepiece with least parts was a sundial. Right?
Yep.
My question was, what's the one with the most parts? That's right. Egg timer. Because of all the granules of sand.
Oh! Of course! course. That's very good, Carl.
Very good.
Good play, isn't it? It's good, that.
Good one, isn't it?
Right.
Proud of himself.
Another one. When I speak to you in 3 years' time, I'll have a question.
And maybe you've done your wallpaper.
Bye, Carl. Good on you, mate.
Because I think a lot of people are sick of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Everyone's a bit sort of...
Everybody's a bit down. We need... And actually sometimes...
No, I think it is. I think it's news.
Do you?
I'm trying to cut news out.
Right. That might be quite drastic. Do we not need news?
Well, but how much? How much right, should you okay. have? When I was growing up, it was just like 6:45 news.
Yeah.
But now we're bombarded by it, and I wonder you're if right. we're getting too much.
I think you're right, because we're getting an awful lot of news and we're not getting an awful lot of analysis.
No.
We get constant information.
Well, they say the more you know you don't know.
That's very true.
And it gets you down. It's like, you know, like years ago with smoking, when it first came out, doctors said, you want to smoke?
Aye, doctors endorsed.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
And I think in years to come, people will be saying, we all went wrong and there was too much news. We all went a bit mad with it.
Too much news.
So cut out the news, watch Sick of It.
Cut out the news and it'll be fine. Do you worry about things like coronavirus? Do you get sort of like, is that too big? Is it me small things that annoy you?
Yeah, it's little niggly things. I think that's out of your hands a bit, isn't it? Or it's in your hands.
Yeah, I know. That's why you have to
wash your hands.
We do.
But yeah, I try not to worry about the big stuff. Mm. I don't think you can. Otherwise, you'd never leave the house.
No, that's very true. And life is hard and we all just have to get on with it, I think, as best we can.
Yes, we can do.
Now, look, what about Ricky Gervais? This is a quote, if people don't know it. He said, this is Ricky Gervais saying this, not me. Received wisdom says there's a fine line between a genius and an idiot. Not true. Carol's an idiot, plain and simple. Very simple. Some people have proclaimed him a genius, but they're idiots. Now, Ricky and you, would you get back together again, like a sort of boy band? You know, the way that they do?
Yeah, but is that a good idea? Is a boy band getting back together a good idea,
well,
ever?
Well, take that was a good idea, don't you think? Take right. that, maybe? No, oh, OK, we're going to fight.
I just think you've got to, like, leave things.
Right.
They were good.
They had their time.
People liked them at the time. Okay. You bring them back, it's never as good.
Right.
I think people like the idea of going back to something they liked when they were younger.
Sure.
I mean, we stopped doing the podcasts about... Well, Idiot Abroad was 10 years ago.
Was it really?
10 years ago.
Wow.
And people are still going on about it.
I know, but that's because people loved it.
Yeah, but I wonder if it came back now, if people wouldn't like it, because, you know, it's things have changed, haven't they, with, like, sensibilities and that.
No, that's true.
I'd probably
gosh.
Offend everyone.
There you are.
I mean, yeah, does anyone want to see that again?
I don't know. I think they might.
There's me there.
And there's you. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Things do change. And so if after that, you kind of almost retired a little bit, but then you got a bit bored.
I had a go at retirement.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I think I did five. In fact, last time I was on here, I said to you, I've had enough.
I know, I remember.
Knocking on the head. Can't
said,
be doing with it.
I'm out of here.
But it's hard.
Is it?
Everybody sort of has that dream of retirement. You know, that's what everyone's aiming at, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
But take that out of your life and you just... What's the point in getting up in the morning?
So you get a bit bored then?
Got really bored, was driving the girlfriend, like, up the wall. I was taking things apart that didn't need taking apart.
Right.
Letting things annoy me. Like, do you know, like, how you get chicken fat in between the doors in an oven?
Yes.
Things like that bothered me.
Oh,
it was like
it?
My main aim to, like, I've got to get rid of that, which isn't healthy. So you've got to have something to worry
get
about.
Up for.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, things and things that you can do something about. What makes you happy? Like, if I was to say to you, today I could do something for you that would make you happy, what would it be?
Steady. Getting my name right.
That's
no,
true.
I think.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I'll tell you
no,
what, I'm looking forward to getting home. At the moment, it's been a wet winter and that, hasn't it? And I've got a lot of algae and moss on the
driveway.
Oh, that
drives you mad, doesn't it?
So I'm enjoying. I started it yesterday and I really like that. Like that thing, that's really simple process, but you feel like you're doing something. At the end, you can step back and go, I've done that.
I achieved this.
I've achieved that.
And you feel
it looks better.
Yes.
You know, I've done it.
And that's
so
slightly
simple
smug
things
feeling.
Like that.
That's slightly sort of like you feel quite smug about that. It's like when you tidy your knickerbocker.
Other people pay to have it done.
This is true.
And it's like, well, I can do this.
Exactly, of course you can.
And, I think that's good for your head, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It is. You're absolutely right.
Cleaning, yeah.
Cleaning is really good.
Yeah.
Cleaning is great. I agree with you 100%. So, next, are we going to see more? Have you been sick of it? Or
honestly,
what's happening?
I think this has come to an end. I think it's
right.
got a nice end,
okay.
this. It's out on DVD, by the way. That's why we're here today.
So it's been out on Sky.
Right.
Watch it on Sky on demand if you've got Sky. If you haven't, whilst you're out panic buying, grab a DVD. You've got to stay in. Give it a watch.
Give it a watch.
I don't think there'll be any more of this.
Right.
I think it's got a nice end, and I really don't know what... I'm not one of those people who has a five-year plan.
I got you.
I'm not into lining up a job before I've finished the last. I like to do one thing, get that done, see what happens. So this might be the end. You might never see me again.
I think we will.
You might not, though, I'm just saying.
OK. Mr...
A lot of people will be happy about that.
Mr Pilkington, thank you.
Oh, he's still going to run.
Pilkington, right. Pilkington. Brilliant. Thank you, my angel.
Have you ever thought about making the jump from writing and entertainment into power?
I'd like to see you maybe be the Manchester United boss. Imagine you're dressed for it now. You've got that kind of sports look about you, Carl. Imagine you, boss of Manchester United.
Late, who can go in and fix that?
I think you'd give it a good old go, wouldn't
you? I feel sorry for Ollie. I mean, again, get annoyed. I'm a kind of a United fan.
What would be your managerial style?
Shouting. I'd be a Fergie thing. And to be honest, that was one of my New Year resolutions that I'm going to try. Because Richard, who I did this with, I always struggle in life at getting points across. I know we're just chatting here and hopefully what I'm saying is clear. But sometimes I've got a lot going on in my head and it's trying to come out quicker than I can work it out.
Right.
And when I'm trying to describe something, people sometimes just look at me like, I don't know what you're going on about. And I get frustrated and then I have to shout. If like nothing changes, I have to shout for people to understand that I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Because I haven't got the words or the brain to do it in a calm but clever way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so in football, that would be the hairdryer treatment. You'd be a hairdryer type guy.
It would, yeah. And I don't know if that would work in this day and age, you know, where the players who Fergie was sort of managing is different from your Pogbas and your Lingards now. Maybe shouting, they'd just go home and that'd be that. They wouldn't listen. It wouldn't work.
But you got the Tony Pulis type outfit on with the old baseball cap.
Old
school.
But yeah, the position of power thing... The other thing with me is I can have a proper rant. I do it all the time with my girlfriend. I'm like, I have a proper moan and she's brainier than me and she'll go, well, you're wrong there because X, Y and Z. And I'll go, oh, yeah. And that'll be that.
Right.
So I can feel like, you know, let's fight them on the beaches.
Yes.
And then someone will sort of go, you know, we can't, the tide's in.
Yeah.
And I'll go, all right, yeah. People who have never heard of me before, I did radio. And
how did you catch that break into radio then?
It's a weird one because it came at quite a time when I thought my life was going to change for the worse in a way. Like I say, I listened to the radio as a kid and thought, yeah, I want to do that. And I did a bit of DJing, you know, got decks and that. And then my dad had to have an heart operation. And, like, this was about 87?
Yeah.
88. And I remember, like, my man was dead worried. It was quite a big deal back then. I think the operation he had wasn't... Now they do it and you're in and out in a day.
Yeah.
But back then it was almost like, we've got the world's best doctors in for this. I don't think so. I mean, it's Withenshaw Hospital in Manchester. But they got in people who can mess about with hearts. And they got on with that. And my dad sort of said to me before, and you know, this isn't straightforward, might not come out of this, you've got to look after your mum. And my mum was like dead upset. I remember we went to the Withenshaw Hospital, left him, went home, and my mum was sat on the end of the bed sort of really upset. And I kind of felt like, shit, if this goes wrong, this could change everything, because suddenly you feel like you've got a responsibility. I'm like, I've got to look after everything. And that I remember thinking, oh, I don't like this. So I went from that to then visiting my dad after the operation. He turned out all right. Visiting him in the hospital, and a lad coming round going, "Do you want a request on the radio?" And I was like, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, we do hospital radio." And I was like, "What do you mean? How does that work?" And he's like, "I said, you get paid." He said, "No, you don't get paid. It's voluntary, but you play records and you." I said, all right, how are you getting to that? He was like, oh, just send us a note if you're interested. Send a letter in and we'll get back to you. And that's how it started. So it's weird that there was this point in my life
that could have been, it could have been a different, you know, like Sliding Doors, that
totally.
Film. My dad could have died. I could have ended up having to look after my mum. I wouldn't have had the opportunities. I wouldn't have moved to London. So that could have changed, but it went the other way. And like going to the hospital, meeting that, and then I did hospital radio for a bit and met someone who knew someone at Piccadilly who did a night shift, and they used to help answer his phones and that. And he was like, I can't do it anymore. I think he was moving to Kent or something. And he said, do you want to go in and answer the phones? And I thought, definitely.
I bet you couldn't believe it.
Definitely. It's so weird.
To go from visiting your dad to hospital radio to now you get the break in this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're not...
And it's just getting your foot in the door.
Manchester, such an... The Piccadilly Radio is such an iconic...
It was massive. I mean, back then as well, it was massive.
Chris Evans caught his
break
there.
Chris Evans was on there. Quite a few names, like Timmy Mallett. I know it's not the same, but Gary Davis.
Yeah.
There's a lot of radio people who came through there. And once I got my foot in there, that was it. It was like, I'm not letting this go. Because I knew, like, by that point, my exams were shit. I really wanted to... I knew that... It was like, this is what I wanted. This is the dream sort of thing. And once I got in there, I just... Whilst they answered the phones, I just go into studios and teach myself to edit, doing little demo tapes and stuff. And then I kind of started earning money putting out pre-recorded shows. Like, you know, presenters who didn't want to work at the weekend used to just record all the links on
and
a bit of tape.
You'd have had the passion that a lot of those guys...
Oh, I loved it.
I'm not knocking any of the other guys there, but because this was your boyhood dream, you've got all the passion, the energy, the enthusiasm.
Yeah, you know. And I was getting paid. And that was my life, in a way. For years, I spent most of my time there. If there was any work that was there and a chance to earn some money doing what I like, I just took it. And I basically lived there. I mean, I buggered myself up, I think, because I remember being physically sick from being tired.
Yeah.
But kind of like, no, I'll do it. And it's just all come from that point. And I've never got a job through, like, an interview. I've never had to go into an interview and sell myself. It's been sort of from that point, getting my foot in.
Organic.
And then like proving
that
it's like, oh, I can do this. Just give us a chance. I'll do it and I'll work hard. And then that's better than any sort of qualification or bigging yourself.
Because anyone can wing an interview, can't they?
You can. All that stuff. And it just seems everybody's a bit mental at the minute. Everyone's like lost, aren't they?
Everybody has a certain moment of just being lost.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think that's all right, because I think that's quite, as part of the human condition, that we're all to put their hands up and go, do you know what? I'm a bit lost and I don't really know what to do. And I don't really, it's a bit like you at the moment going, I'm dead restless. I kind of don't want to do anything, but I want to do something, but I feel like I need to do something, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I know.
So therefore, what are we doing? Are we overthinking? I don't know. Do you think you're overthinking this, Carl? Because it seems something that's quite weighing heavy on your mind at the moment.
Well, because you get one go at life, don't you? You want to make sure you're not wasting it. That's the thing. You know, I don't believe like you get another go and all that. You get this one go. And I was watching a video the other day on YouTube of, you know, Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah.
Really brainy bloke. And I just like listening to brainy people. I haven't got a clue what they're going on about sometimes, but I admire, like, the way they can just say what they think and it's worded perfectly. Do you know the Stephen Fry types and all that?
Yeah.
Love that. Wouldn't you love to be like that?
Christopher Hitchens.
He's like that, but on this video... It's before he died, like a couple of weeks before he died.
Yeah.
And he was on this stage talking, and he still had his brain, he had cancer and that, but his brain wasn't affected. His voice was a bit. But he was so passionate about the stuff he was talking about, and he's like right up, he's close to death, and yet he's still like loving what he was doing.
Yeah.
So it makes you sort of watch it and go, shit, he's dying there, and look at him. He's loving every minute. And I'm pissing about here, and maybe... You know, Suzanne's right, or whoever's saying stop cleaning. I can do the cleaning, but I need something else to make sure I'm doing something worthwhile, I think. I haven't got kids, so it's not like I can say, well, I'm bringing up the kids and I'm teaching them
stuff. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I've got a cat. She can't even teach them tricks. It's not like a dog. They just look at you, don't they? So it's like, what am I doing on the planet? What am I doing now? What can I do? And she said, yeah, yeah. Anyway, we got there. And she said, but I have booked us a day out. And I was like, oh, you shit house. Do you know what I mean? I was like, this is why you're telling me now. You know, you see The Apprentice. You know, yeah. There's some proper bullshitters on there. It's a proper skill, isn't it? But I remember how many years ago? It might have been 7 years. I don't know. It might be further back than that. But my agent, when I first moved to London and I'd been doing the radio with Ricky and Steve, and he was like, oh, there's an actor's part come up. You've just got to go to the casting. And that was probably the first time it felt like a proper interview. And
it's demeaning as well, isn't it?
Totally bottled it. Yeah. Got in there. I could hear the people in this room acting out this scene.
Yeah.
I hadn't really learned it. I kind of thought I'll just sort of do a version of that. And I could hear this. In fact, I know who it was. It was a bloke called Ray Peacock who does podcasts.
Yeah. Ian Bolzac is your name, isn't it?
Right. Well, I've only met him at that place. And he came out and he was really big. He's quite a big performer and that, isn't he? And I was like, how was that? And he's like, yeah, good. And I just thought, I can't do this. But I didn't want to be rude and just leg it. I thought, I'll have to go in and tell him. I just went in straight away and went, look, I don't want to waste your time. This isn't for me. I don't want to put you through this. I don't want to put myself through it. I don't want to do it. I walked off and the agent was like, what are you doing? That's a missed opportunity. He's like, well, not really. It's not what I want. You told me to come here. And yeah, maybe it was an opportunity, but it's not one I'm ready for at this moment in time. And if there's one thing I know about myself, it's I've got to be comfortable with that thing. If I'm not, I'm a mess. And that's what Ricky and Steve picked up on the travel stuff. Dropping me in situations that I haven't prepared myself for. I break down. I'm rubbish. I'm not, you know, like James Bond. He's like, he can think, he can add it all.
He'll adapt.
He's like, I can deal with this. I'd just go, oh God. And that'd be the end of me. So I wasn't ready for that. And
good for you.
But it's weird how, I don't know how many years ago that was. That's what I've ended up doing.
In my own terms, though. Yeah.
In my own time. So, when people say that line about, oh, if something comes along, grasp it, take every opportunity that comes along, sometimes, no, don't do that. Think about it, but don't like spur of the moment, this could be it. Well, yeah, but is it what you want? And is this there's other paths to where you want to get? It's like sat-nav, isn't it? Always sends you the route everybody else has been sent on.
Yeah.
Which means that it's not the quickest route, it's not the best route. Go a different route. And you'll get there. You'll still get there. You might get lost on the way and find something else. But it's that thing of, you know, there isn't. It's like when people say, "What advice do you give?" It's like, I don't want to give you advice because it might not work for you. You've got to work out what's right.
So true.
Yeah. So, and it's worked out. You know, it's kind of everything's not, you know, as good as I thought it could have been. Could have tried harder. Could have, but it's kind of all right. I'm happy with me lot. So, pretty heavy, that, isn't it?
No, I mean, that was one of those.
I don't know where that came from. It's like a that was Mandela. I didn't know I had that in me.
But, I mean, it's amazing because then you got moved to London.
Yeah.
So what was that your choice or was that through the station?
That was my only choice, to be honest.
Was it move to London or get made redundant?
Well, I was made redundant. Well, sacked.
I got told that. I lived in Leeds. Was a sports writer. We're going to make redundant or you move to London.
Well, it was a bit different from that. It was so.
And then got made redundant.
you mean they sent you to London? Yeah. It's like there's a job there. Well, I had a job at Piccadilly. I had a job on air doing my own show through the night. Got sacked off that for talking too much because the station had changed a bit.
Yeah.
And Steve Penk, who used to do the breakfast show, I used to produce his breakfast show after I did a night shift from 2 till 6.
So you hosted your own show 2
did
till 6?
Did my own show 2 till 6. And then after that, I had to produce the breakfast show 6 till 10.
What do you mean you talk too much?
Yeah.
What do they want, more music?
Yeah, the strap line was like, Key 103, the most music. And I was playing about 3 songs an hour. And I kind of thought, because it's through the night...
Do those recordings still exist?
I doubt it. Well, I doubt it, because that was one of my jobs to put in. It was videotapes, and you had like 3 video recorders recording all the output of the station.
Yeah.
And it was your job to sort of
change those tapes, and there's times I forgot.
Sure.
So I suppose technology, I don't know.
Yeah.
They haven't cropped up yet, and that must have been what? Early 90s. So, yeah, I'd just waffle on. And
oh, and then, sorry, Steve Penk, you were saying.
Steve Penk. So I'd do my 4 hours, and then I'd answer calls for Steve Penk and make promos for his show, make him tea, set up callers. You know, it's just all that sort of producing thing. People always go, oh, you know, people say Carl's daft and that, but he was a radio producer, you know, as if, like, you have to be bright. I know this to radio producers out there, but it's not hard. It really isn't. Unless you're on, like, maybe 5 Live or Radio 4, where you're maybe listening to interviews and you're going, oh, that's liable or whatever. But I was just dealing with putting Edna on, who's requesting Elvis. Do you know what I mean? There was nothing hard about it. There was no struggle. So I did that. But the boss, they used to do these things called Snoop Tapes, where they'd listen to your show. And they'd just get you in for a meeting and play it to you in front of you. And I remember, like, one link that, you know, I was talking for about 4 minutes or something, and he was just sat there looking at his watch, like, as if to say, how much long is this going on? And he stopped it. He went, you've got to stop doing this. Otherwise, you know, you're not right for the station. I was like, all right, right, right. I walked off, and then I kind of carried on because I thought, well, I don't just want to do that sort of... China crisis there, and they're coming up, boys to men, stay there, it's 20 to 4 in the morning. And I used to sort of think the people listening to it are security men, nurses, cab drivers. They all want something. You know, the callers used to enjoy the stories or the competitions.
They want the communication, competitions,
yeah. And I used to say that, and they were like, it's not our strap line. It's like, yeah, but I was here before the strap line.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to this station before that strap line. There's people out there who don't all want to hear the same fucking 4 songs. You know, every... I mean, it really was tight.
I'll make love
to you. I can remember the CD numbers of some of these,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
because it was just, like, the same shit. And even that, I changed the music a little. I didn't go mad, but I didn't always play the right songs. But, so I carried on, and in the end, they got me in and sacked me from doing the show. But Steve Penk and... this woman called Rose, who was the boss's PA. So, you know, he's a good lad. He works hard. He can still carry on doing the technical operating and the producing. So at least I was earning some money. I was a bit gutted I was off air, but I didn't want to do a show that meant...
That you didn't want
to do. Yeah. Not through the night. It was doing me no good.
Yeah.
Really unhealthy lifestyle, isn't it? Being up all night.
Yeah.
Just to play... like in Boys to Men every night. So I thought, well, that's the end of that. I always wanted to do it. It was the dream. Again, a bit like what I said earlier, sometimes a dream isn't as good as the dream. It's, you know, so it's the end of that dream, but I've got a job and just produce a show. And then Steve Penk left to come to London, to go to Capital. And I can't remember who took over the breakfast show, but someone did who had their mate to be the producer. And I got into production, which meant, like, doing all the promos for the station, like, sort of all technical term here for people who don't know, but basically just, like, making adverts and stuff. But even that, there was 3 of us doing that, and then I think there must have been a recession, and they said, we don't want 3 of you doing it, we just need 1 of you doing it. So I was sort of... when you say redundancy, that normally means you're giving some money, doesn't it?
Oh, I've had times where I've been made redundant and given
nothing. Yeah. I think that was the case with this one. It was like maybe 1 month, and it was like halfway through the month anyway. So it was like a couple of weeks' wages. And then Steve Penk, who was coming to London, said, have a word with this boss of Capital. I was like, oh, I don't know. But I was with Suzanne then, my girlfriend, and she just said, look, you've got nothing else going
on. So why not?
Why not? And I was like, I don't want to go to London. What am I going to London for? This is where my life is, isn't that? Yeah, but there's nothing going on here. So I called up and they got me in for a meeting. In fact, it was really good. I think rather than the redundancy, the station gave me tickets to see Michael Jackson at Wembley. Brilliant, that, isn't it? Got a mortgage to pay. Not giving you any money, but here's some tickets to see Jacko. Anyway, I took them. And what I did was I arranged to have the meeting with the bloke at Capital FM when I was down here to see Michael Jackson.
Nice.
So that sort of covered the train fare and everything. So I went in, met him, got on with him all right, and he was like, nothing's here at the minute. You can't work with Steve Penn. We've got our own producers, but we'll give you, you know, something might come up. And And that's where it all sort of started. They gave me a job at... they were meant to be buying Virgin Radio, but it fell through. And they'd sent me to a station in Kent, in Victor, to do training because all the equipment was different. I was used to using reel-to-reel on tape. But by this point, in London, it was all digital editing. So we were a bit behind in Manchester. I didn't even use email. I remember coming down here and it was like... set up your email account. I'm like, what are you talking about? It was like I'd gone into the future. Like I'd been in a coma and gone, what, like a caveman who had just been dropped into this world. Set up an email and going, I don't know what you mean. And I remember sending my first email and then the boss coming down going, why are you shouting? What's up shouting? I thought, oh, everything's in capitals. And going, well, yeah, so what? That's how I write. Because when I write in print, everything's capital. So why keep having to press this button for certain words to have a big letter? So I was like, just caps lock it. Sending everything. It's like he's mad in that northern bloke. He's shouting at everyone. Anyway, so that's where it all started. I was sent there to do my training and on the hope that I was living in London or rented a flat in London because I said to the boss, I have not left Manchester to work at a tin pot. No disrespect to the station there, but it was a bit crap. It's gone now. Station in Kent. I haven't left Manchester to work there. I've come to work in London.
Sure.
So he was like, yeah. Anyway, that station fell through. Buying Virgin fell through. Mm. I think that's when Chris Evans bought it or something.
Ah, right, yeah.
But the boss was like, don't worry, we're going to be buying this station that we think suited for you, which was XFM.
Yeah.
So it kind of all worked out. It was a battle, and I was driving to Kent and back every day. I had to get up at like 5 a.m. to get over to, it was near Whitstable, and I lived on the Docklands, so I was near the Blackwall Tunnel and stuff. But I was just working like a nutter. Girlfriend was with me. She didn't have a job yet. I had a flat in Salford on a mortgage that I was struggling to pay for as well as the rent. And I think I'd saved up money. I'd always been...
a good saver.
A good saver.
Yeah.
I always wanted to make money and I didn't really know what it was for, but I always saw it as a security. It's like my dad always struggled but paid the bills and it was like that was in my head. It's like you've got to pay your way, you've got to pay your way. So I was always like, oh, money, making money. From a young age as well, like just always coming up with ideas, making money. So I'd literally spent all my savings on this flat in Salford and the renting a flat in London. And, you know, my mum and dad didn't have any money. And they always talk about the time when they came down to visit and I was really struggling. Like, you know, they knew that it was all coming to an end. It looked like I'd probably have to move back. And then I got a phone call from... an estate agent in Manchester saying we can let your flat out. I was like, oh god, that'll help big time, because it was quite a rough bit of town. So I was thinking, no one's going to want to rent it. Someone rented it, and then I think like a day after, someone called and Suzanne got a job. So suddenly it was like, oh,
double whammy of goodness.
Yeah, it's like we were so close. It's that thing again of like we've tried
sliding doors,
hasn't worked out. We've got to go. But, yeah, it just all happened at the right time. And my dad always talked, because they were there, he always talks about it. He goes, I remember. And it was years ago, but obviously mums and dads can see what you're going through, probably. And they probably saw the relief and the weight lifted off my shoulders when suddenly it was like, we're all right, we can buy a bit more time here. And I got that job at XFM, and that was going all right. I got on quite a good wage. And then, obviously, Ricky and Steve came back. And, again, a little bit of luck. I was just put with them as a producer to put on the adverts and put in the CDs and for their show. And then I used to talk to them and they'd be like, just, you know, do that bit, do that thing you just told us on air. And that straight, I was like, no chance, because I'm having flashbacks of being bollocked at that station in Manchester and being fired. And now, like, you know, rent's not cheap in London. I was like, I'm not doing it. And they were like, no, go on, you're with us. It's all right, don't worry. So slowly, it was like each week, they'd sort of get me on the show a little bit more, a little bit at a time, just like the odd link and what have you. And then before I knew it, it was like, it was kind of part of that show. And it's everything since, it's all gone from that, really. So yeah, it's a weird, it's been an odd sort of path. But everything from that, from doing the show with Ricky and Steve, I sort of enjoyed radio before that. I started to hate it a little bit when I was with them. They just do me head in a little bit. And then all the stuff that's followed, it's never really been the dream. It's just stuff that's come along
as a result of
that. But I'd still say radio was the one dream. The other jobs been like, I've never thought I wanted to do it, but seems interesting. The travel stuff, I was like, I don't want to do that. And it was my girlfriend who was like, look, just do it. You're never going to go to China in your life. You don't want to go to China, but do it. You're getting paid to go.
They're going
to
fly,
and you're going to see it. And you don't have to go again.
Yeah.
And I remember the first couple of trips, I hated it. I called home a couple of times going, how can I get out of this? I had an agent and I was going, I can't be doing with this. I hate it. I'm ill. I hate it. This isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Did you even say, get me out of this?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I was like, can we, you've took some of the money because they give you a bit of an advance, so give it back. I haven't spent any of it. Give it back. Well, you can't. The cameraman's been paid and the director and there's money already been spent. Well, we've done two shows. Give them. You can't just give them two shows. It's the seven wonders of the world. You can't do two wonders of the world. And I just like, oh, yeah. And then the girlfriend was like, look, stop stressing, because I was going, oh, this is like trip two. There's another like five. I don't want to do it. And she was like, but why are you worrying about the other shows, the other trips? Just worry about the one you're on now.
Focus on one at a time.
One at a time. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're probably right. And that's what I did. And before I knew it, it was over. But again, Suzanne's always sort of been there. She's the one who said about going to London. You know, do it. If it doesn't work out, we can come back. I do tend to be a bit of a pessimist, which I don't think is a bad thing, because it's just, because it seems like everything I've talked about has worked out, but it hasn't always. But when it doesn't, I kind of go, I knew that was going to happen. So it affects me less. Like I said to you, it's a protection.
It affects you less.
Yeah.
The pessimist in you is preparing you to hit that iceberg.
Yeah,
so that
definitely.
When it does happen, if it happens,
I knew it. I told you that was going to happen. And sometimes Suzanne's all stressed out and annoyed because something's gone wrong. And I was ahead of her. I felt like that about 3 days ago when I was moaning at you. So stop moaning. Stop moaning now. You know what I mean? So I don't think there's... It annoys me a bit when people sort of go, oh, you're a pessimist. It's like, well, maybe I am, but we're not all the same, are we? We have
Absolutely.
Different ways of working stuff out.
About growing up in Manchester. Whereabouts were you?
South Manchester, place called Sale.
Drove past it last week.
Did you?
Mm. We were up there doing some recordings last week, so drove past Sale.
Yeah, racecourse estate. It's massive estate, and all the avenues are named after, you know, racecourses, so Epsom and Chepstow and all that. And I don't know, what do you want to know? I mean,
so it's you, your mum and dad.
Yeah, brother and sister.
They're older or younger than you, Carl?
Older. And it was all right. I'm trying to think. It was just, I just used to... What do you want to know? I mean,
was it like it was what it was? You just kind of, well, this is where we grew up and it's kind of fine. Because I'm trying to picture you when you were growing up as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, what age are you talking here then?
Sort of like, you know, you're seven onwards.
Seven, right. So I think I've got a...
You sounded a bit angry, Carl.
I know, but that's all right, no, seven.
Do I have to be really specific?
No, it's just like, you know, if you're talking about being really young, it's like you have little flashes, don't you, of things but that was going on.
I have terrible memory, like going right back.
Yeah, but some people are like, I remember being breastfed.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like, why would you want to remember that? I thought babies were designed to forget that. But, yeah, so I don't remember that. That's what I was worried about when it's like, what was it like?
It's kind of, no, I'm not going back there.
But, yeah, so seven. Seven's like, have you started school at seven?
Yeah.
Right, so I think I'm all right. Seven is infants, isn't it?
Mm. The infants going into juniors, yeah.
Yeah, so at school, I didn't like it. I knew by that point I didn't like it.
What did you like about it? Do you remember?
The school wasn't great. It was a wreck. A wreck of a school.
Right.
It's not standing now. It was falling down then, and it was always cold. I remember that. I didn't see the point in having a uniform because I always had my coat on.
Yeah.
It's like I could be wearing anything under this. Freezing, and it was really rotten school. Like... If you got done,
and you did detention. It wasn't a detention, it was just you staying behind for half an hour. Did have you doing stuff to the school, because it was that much of a wreck.
Well, like I remember DIY
type stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I'd re-putted a window.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was about, like you say, 7, 8. Which, looking back on it, in a way, that's quite good, isn't it? Because yeah. That's something that's useful, rather than just sat in a room doing nothing.
You've got your learning lines. What's that about?
Yeah. But it's a trade, so it was that, and I did weeding as well, weeding in the playground once.
Did not have a caretaker?
I don't think they did, because honestly, it was such a wreck, a caretaker would have walked in and gone, fuck off, I'm not looking after this, because it was a wreck, proper wreck. And it's at that time, maybe councils were struggling then in the 70s.
Yeah.
And the walls, I just remember walls being like really damp. You could just sort of put your fingers in them. Oh. And really depressing.
Was that the general feel from out the school, like with all your mates and stuff?
I suppose you don't know anything else. But again, looking back, everybody, you know, I've got a couple of mates who still see, and they sort of go, God, it was bad there, wasn't it? It was bad.
I suppose you only know that when you've got perspective and you go to another school and you go,
this is a bit better.
It's a bit better.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I can take my coat off.
Not as bad as that.
There's heating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose in a way you're never going to enjoy school when it's like that anyway, are you? It's not.
How can you in surroundings like that?
Yeah. What else was
Were your brother and sister at the same, did they go to that same school? Even though they're
no,
a bit
because
older.
We moved, I think we came from another part of Manchester when they were at that age.
Right.
Like in just near, what was it called? Chortland on Medlock, which is just near the Manchester Apollo and that. That's where Mum and Dad were. And then I think they were a bit slummish, the slummy area, and they wanted to clear that.
Right.
And they moved everyone out a bit to these new council estates.
What did your mum and dad do for a living, Carl? Oh,
I mean, how long have you got? My dad,
as long as you
still, want. But it's just my dad has done everything. To this day, I see him quite a lot, and I speak to him on Skype if I'm not nipping round. And every time I speak to him, it's like Mr. Ben. Do you know, he kind of goes, that reminds me of the time I did that. And he's kind of like, I didn't know you did that. If he did a CV, you'd bring it out in hardback. Honestly, he's done everything. Because he's from that time when that's what it was like.
Yeah.
You didn't need loads of qualifications. You just go from one job to another. Factory closes, you do something. So he's done the things that I remember. Is mainly a lot of driving stuff. Worked for the Express, some sort of transport manager style thing with the delivery of the papers to the shops. He had a courier, got a couple of vans, did courier stuff. He had a black cab. He did turfing, which I helped do that with him. Honestly, just
the
endless,
list goes on.
Yeah, loads of things that I remember him just doing.
So was he always around then, or was he going away a lot to work? Or
the memory is with my dad work. It was almost like I knew that was his role in the relationship. It's like he was earning the money. It was my mum's sort of job to look after us, and like he did a lot of night work as well. So when you're talking about me being younger, I remember not being able to have that many mates around because it's like your dad's in bed.
Right. Yeah.
Don't be noisy.
Yeah.
Everything's sort of like...
Yeah, I used to have a mate like that. We used to go around after school and he'd go, shh, shh.
Yeah, it's a real pain in the arse. Mm. I mean, my mum used to always have the telly on watching soaps and stuff and subtitles. Subtitles always on. I thought they were invented for kids who's like, dad's work shifts. I didn't know it was for, you know, deaf people. And that was the thing. Everything... I just remember sort of mooching about and I was like, what are you doing? And then it'd be my job to sort of go up and wake him up and go, and he'd always be a bit groggy and knackered. That's my memory of him. So he was always doing that. My mum did jobs at schools, you know, cleaner.
She didn't
work in the canteen.
Yeah.
Yeah, working in the canteen of some college. I remember being at South Trafford College in the canteen there. Shop work, you know, that sort of stuff, a bit of extra money. Something to keep her busy, but nothing that took over. You know, it was my dad earning the main money. And then towards the end, they bought a butty shop in Sale, just near the station.
So they work together on that?
Kind of. My dad had the black cab as well, and my dad's not that good with people, so my mum didn't really like him in the shop. You know, if people are lingering, or getting in the way, and they'd sort of stand near the door eating the butty. It's like, it's not a place you sit down and have, but take it out, you're in the way. And my mum didn't, she was like, you're not good at this. You know, if people wanted, it's just not the sort, you know, the niceties you've got to do in a shop.
Yeah.
Show interest in the customer and that. My dad doesn't do that. So he'd make sure there was enough bacon in, enough ham in, all that, and then my mum would write, right, you go and do the cab.
She got on
pick
with
us
it.
Up later.
Yeah.
So,
I used to work in a news agent when I was a kid, and you know, some people used to come in and just sort of read the magazines.
Right.
I used to go, it's not a library.
Yeah.
Buy it or get out.
It's true. I mean, you need a bit of that, don't you?
There's a balance, though, isn't there? As far as if you're running a shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because word spreads, you don't want to go in
there. Don't go in
there.
Right. Miserable sod. Yeah. And I imagine that probably, you know, would have happened. But, so yeah, they did that, and that took up a lot of time. I mean, they worked really hard. That's the thing. I mean, I think that's been ingrained in me, really.
What, a work ethic?
Yeah, from me, Dad, it was always like, I knew that you have to pay your way in life. It's like, earn money. Don't, you get nothing for now, earn money. And even from a young age, I was coming up with ways of making money. I was always working. I was never a kid who sort of stood about on a street corner, sort of up to no good.
So you'd always have a Saturday job or something?
Saturday job, paper round. To this day, love me paper round. Loved it. I loved everything about it.
Why do you love it so much?
It was early mornings. It was like out on the streets when it's quiet. There was no one there to annoy you. I had a job. I felt like I had an important responsibility that the first thing people rely on when they get up, the paper, knowing what's going on in the world, I'm delivering it to them. And I used to do it at like, I'd be out at 4:45.
Really?
I used to wake up the fella who ran the shop. And I was like, and if I could, it meant that because I got up early, I could do an extra round if someone doesn't turn up, so I could earn a bit more money.
Yeah.
And I just loved it, listening to the radio, going round on my bike, and delivering paper. Honestly, if you went round the streets where I delivered papers and said to him now, when was a good time for, like, when was your favourite delivery thing, they'd say the period I did. I reckon it's a golden, do you know, people hark back, it's not like it used to be, like we were saying, they'd say, oh yeah, remember the like the 80s when that lad used to be there for you, the ink was like still wet on the paper. And I just loved it. I took pride in it. I think that's still with me as well. It's like, if I do something, I'm going to be as good as I can be at it. And I was the best at, you know, I'm not a mega confident person, but I can tell you now,
you were shit out of that.
Absolutely brilliant at it. Everyone got the paper, didn't get ripped and stuff, shoving it in a letterbox, I cared.
No,
it's
dogs.
The best job. Just honestly. So, yeah, I did that. I did, I worked in a supermarket.
Did you ever go in for a milk round? I remember when milk rounds were quite popular.
No, I never. I think I preferred the working on my own.
Yeah, because otherwise then you've got to speak to the
driver. You've got to deal with this bloke.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. It's going to be annoying.
So even back then, when you were younger, being by yourself and having your own company was very important.
Yeah, I just saw people as, at some point, they're going to disappoint me.
Yeah.
Did
you ever think, I might disappoint them?
Maybe there's a bit of that in. What do they expect from me?
Or what do they want from me?
Yeah, I know, it's bad, isn't it?
Well, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No, I do worry about that. So I did paper round shops. I sold stuff, computer games.
What, like in a shop?
No, I used to buy them with me own money for like £3 and then copy them sell them at school.
What, tape to tape?
Tape to tape.
Yeah.
And that was another, I was raking it in. Honestly, I was like a Gordon Gecko. I had so much money. In fact, it got to the point where that's what I was going to school for. I was really busy, like, just selling these games. It got really popular. Making loads of money. That ended because I did a game for a kid and then it didn't work and he said, not working. He's like, I'll have another go at copying it, because he started to, I think it was getting harder and harder to copy these things.
Yeah, because the computer games company kind of got wind of it, didn't they?
And it was like, I'll do it again. And anyway, he told his mum, then his mum come in and it's kind of like, what did you tell your mum for? Because it was like his dinner money. And the head teacher sort of gave me a bollocking and took, I must have had about £12 on me that day, and he took all that off me, and that was all from the computer again, so I couldn't do that. But that was a good little earner. I sold fizzy drinks. My dad had a Soda Stream, So I used to like go into the bins, get loads of empty bottles, give them a wash, make fizzy drinks, go to school, sell them for like 25p and stuff. And it's funny because thinking back at it, I used to stand there and go, drink it then. And I'd be like, I don't want it now. It's like, I want the bottle. It was stuff like that, but I did loads of money. It was all little scams. Like, not even a scam, really. It's just making money. If I've got to go to school, I want to make this worthwhile.
I've got to get something for me from it.
So it was all stuff like that. Washing cars for people. It was all, like I say, that was in my head, got to earn money. And it wasn't because I needed it. I wasn't like spending that money on anything. I just liked it growing in this white tub I had under the bed. And when I, you know, a few pound coins or whatever, a few notes, it's like change that to a fiver.
Yeah.
And then, it's building, change the fivers to a tenner. And it was just something to look. It was almost like watching, you know, growing a plant or something. It was just watching it get bigger. And I enjoyed, like, I suppose it made me feel like I've got a worth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that, I've done that. That money there that's growing, I'm doing it. It was for no reason other than just seeing it as, I suppose, security as well. You know, hearing from your dad that you need money.
But it is like your dad, because your dad was doing all different jobs stuff all the time, so you were looking up to him and doing what he was doing.
And I didn't know what I'd want to do with my life if I wasn't working. And in a way, that's what's happened later on in life with this. I thought I'd got to a point where I didn't have to work and I didn't want to work, but it's important, isn't it?
I mean, how did you give it, you know, it sounds like radio is this foundation upon which everything else has been built on top of that. You know, that was
definitely.
But how do you, given, you know, it's not like you were doing the comedy circuit for 10 years and then you catch your break. It's not like you went to drama school.
No.
So that when you get that break, I've been preparing for this for years. How on earth did you cope from being an unknown guy to then? I mean, there was a time where you're like the most talked about man in the country.
No, I really didn't like it because it's not me. I mean, when I say I know that I'm a pessimist, I also know I'm a bit of a, what's the word when you don't want any fuss and you just kind of, I always sit in a corner. I always get in a corner.
Yeah.
I mean, even now talking to you, I've crammed myself in a corner for going to rest. What's it called when you don't want?
Introvert.
Yeah. I am one of them. And I think the reason I liked radio is because it was a way of sort of getting stuff off my head, but talking to myself in a room.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
All right. This is Yak. Hope you're enjoying this compilation. This is David Bowie's Starman. Halfway point of the compilation. Enjoy the second half. Cheers.
Especially through the night, there was no one about in that radio
station. You're
probably
working some stuff through, aren't you?
Just getting, working out, chatting what's on my mind. And sometimes people laugh at stuff that I say, and I kind of go, well, it's not meant to be funny, actually. A bit of a breakdown there, but I'm glad you've found some humour in it. But I kind of, that's me. It's like sometimes I feel like I've got a lot in my head, but I don't really want to mire the people with it. Suzanne's sort
It's a great
of,
northern word that's not used in London, mither.
Is it not?
I don't think so. My gran used to say moither. She's from Lancashire, Yorkshire border, Barn Oldswick. So she used to say moither, but I know it's mithered.
Right, like,
so she'd be like, I'm mithered to death.
Right, so it's like, I don't want to hassle people.
No, but the word mither should be used more.
It's such a
beautiful word.
Yeah. I don't want any hassle.
Because there's even, there's a DVD extra on Extras where you are filming a scene and but even on that, you make a point of, I want to just sit in the corner. I just want to. Do you remember the bit I mean? And you even say something like, "I'm doing that thing where I'm on my phone, but I'm not really on my phone."
Oh yes, yeah, on the extra, the day of being a real life extra. Yeah, I'm not very good at. I'm not the life, and I mean, I don't go to parties because I don't like the feeling of too many people. I got a little bit better when they sent me on my travels because I had to go to a couple of sort of festivals and things like that where there's a lot of people, or a carnival in Rio or some sort of religious thing in India. But I remember getting really stressed out because I'm not good in large crowds. If I do go to an event, I've got to be on the edges.
So that there's a metaphorical and literal escape route.
Yeah, I think it is. I just don't like all the...
And it annoys me because I know, like, you're meant to enjoy some of these points in your life and in the year, like New Year, where it's all about, you got to get together, you got to be with people and celebrate stuff together. And I sort of go, I'd rather not, thanks. And that can come across really like, oh, you miserable bastard. But it's like, no,
we are all different,
I'm not.
Aren't
I tell
we?
You what, I could come along. I could come to that party. That's going to be so fucking amazing. But I'm going to hate it. And I'm going to ruin it for everyone else because they'll be going, what's up with him? Who's that moody sod in the corner there who's just like keeping himself to himself? I don't like it.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish I could. There's times when I see people. Well, I was watching Antiques Road Trip last night and there was a woman on it just laughing all the time. Laughing at stuff that wasn't funny, but just laughing all the time. So a laugh became a bit redundant because it's like he's just laughing at everything.
Yeah.
But Suzanne was like, no, she's happy, isn't she? I'm going, I don't know. Well, and she's going, oh, no, you're not. You're a bit miserable. I'm going, no. Will you stop? It's just, I'm not like that. Is it serotonin? Or
yeah, serotonin.
Yeah. We've all got different levels of that, haven't we?
So she's just pumping it out.
They've obviously got a lot of it. And if it's genuine, if that's how much that person is laughing all the time, it's like, that must be amazing. But there's no point me coming in here going, James, because he's not real.
Yeah.
And it's tiring. I'd be so exhausted. I've got a day of this. I've got a day of interviews. So, like you said, there's no point bullshitting. There's no point me coming in, pretending I'm something I'm not. And if I walk out of here and you go, Jesus Christ, that was hard work. He's a moody man. That's the way it is. And a lot of the time I don't go to events and parties because I know I'm a bit like that and I don't want to ruin it for other people. So rather than going because I've been asked and then end up ruining it, I prefer to go, thanks and everything, but it's not really my thing. And I'm pretty sure once I'm not there, they enjoy the party. I'm not on the mind. Everyone's not at that party going, shame Carl didn't turn up. They don't give a shit that I'm there or not. So I kind of just take myself out of it. And again, it's a bit annoying for Suzanne at times because she's like, well, if you're not going, I'm not going. I said, well,
she,
I'm not making that rule.
Quite like to...
I'm not making that rule, though. You can go. But I don't want to go because I know that I'll end up annoying you anyway. So we might as well have this argument now about me not going rather than having it later about going but being a moody shit in the corner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wish... These times I wish I was a bit different, but I'm 47 now. And I don't think it's going to change.
But, I mean, also, to pick up... I'm picking someone at random. I don't know him. But if you think of, like, Elton John, yeah. Him at a party, he's going to work the room, he's going to be laughing, he's going to be... We can't all be... You know, I can relate
to
what you're saying.
You reckon?
I reckon. All right. Well, I mean,
you seen the film, Rocket Man?
No. Is that have I picked a terrible example in Elton John?
Yeah, because he had a big do. And all on his land, on his big house, everyone's jollying it up, drinking all the booze that he's paid for. And he's sat in a room having a breakdown. It just goes to show.
I literally couldn't have picked a worse person.
Yeah. So it just goes to show, you see. I want people to see people
yes!
and go, what a life and soul of... And sometimes the happiest people are the ones who go, like, have you heard about John? The happy fella, yeah, he shot himself in the head. Because he hasn't released the sort of... the fed-upness... You've got to let it out. I'm sure we all have it. But like I said, that person on Antiques Road Trip, laughing their head off, looking at antiques. It's not even like he's at a stand-up gig or something and you go, well, I can understand why he's laughing. That's
fair
a funny
enough.
Joke.
Kevin Bridges is funny.
Barometers and laughing about, you know, the weather. It's just like... And I feel myself getting annoyed and I go, this isn't healthy. I should be happy. Are we getting kicked out here?
I don't think so. But I mean, sorry, go on.
No, but it's just that. It's just... You've got. It's very hard and dangerous to try and please others. And I think that's where I started when I said about writing Sick of It. There's people who probably go, oh, you should do more travel. And I kind of go, that's what you want, but it's not what I want. So maybe that fan has come to the end of the line with me. And maybe they've got to like either listen back to the old stuff that they like or find someone new. But it's very dangerous to do work or anything in life just to please others, because I think it catches up with you and you'll get caught out if you try and please others.
I mean, there's one thing I think, I can only speak for myself, but I think I speak on behalf of others. One thing a lot of us dream of is retirement, right?
Yeah.
So we think, oh, I'll be able to retire.
Yeah.
what often happens is people reach an age where they have to retire, and then, sorry to lower the time, but they drop dead because the work was probably the thing that was keeping them going. So you, I know that you a few years ago
had it on the head.
You'd probably thought, great, I don't have to work anymore.
Yeah, like I said, the money thing was always there from a young age, making money, because you need money in life to not, so you don't have to rely on others.
Even the boy on the estate knew,
because of that estate, it was seeing the people on that estate. There's a bloke who lived a couple of houses down called Casey, and I just saw his life just go to shit in what seemed like 3 weeks to me, but it was probably a year, 2 years, and he just didn't have any go in him. It was like, and to be honest, a lot of old school mates and stuff have gone down that route of life's hard, isn't it? I've just got a job I hate, but then it's all right, it's the weekend, I'm going to get leathered and, you know, get themselves into all sorts of mess. And you just say, I knew I didn't want that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in it. I can see what's going on, and I definitely, definitely don't want this. So it was all like, earn money, earn money. And yeah, you're right. A few years ago, I paid off the mortgage and was like, well, that's it. That's all I've been working for, really, to do that. And I think I did 6 or 7 months of nothing.
What were you doing?
Pottering about. The things I enjoy doing now, but in between work, it was the bit of gardening, cleaning. I love cleaning.
Movies?
Yeah, gardening, cleaning. Yeah, I'd watch films, walks. But it's the stuff that you enjoy because sometimes you don't have time to do it. When that's all you've got, you kind of, it's not a novelty anymore.
Sure.
It's like when you see people on that programme, Place in the Sun. They went to Benidorm once for a week. It was a brilliant holiday, so we're going to live there. It's like, it won't be the same.
No.
It's not a holiday.
No.
You're living there.
Within 6 months, you'd be like, God, I miss.
Yeah, of course. There's always, I mean, I don't think there's the perfect life anywhere. There's always a compromise, I think. But it was that thing of, I can't do it. I was driving Suzanne up the wall, you know, just messing about with things that didn't need messing with. And she was just like, you've got to go back to work. You've got to go back to work.
But it can be too hard on a... There's some horrendous statistic about divorce rates with footballers.
Too much time.
Well, because the footballer goes from, you know, let's say from the age of 18 to 34.
Training, football, playing, football, training, football. Playing.
Doesn't even... Barely sees the wife because he's away at Swansea or whatever. And then he retires and they're seeing each other all the time. And it's like, fucking hell, we didn't even...
It's like Big Brother.
Didn't even know each other.
In a house with someone. Yeah, it's all about... I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Is that why this podcast is called Balance? Because it's about life. Like, it's that balance, isn't it? It's everything in life. Too much of it, it ruins it. It's not healthy. Too much of anything, you know, whether it's, I love biscuits, but having two, you kind of go, oh, that was nice, but I was to stop there. You eat a full biscuit, all those biscuits you really loved, but you eat a full packet, you feel down, you feel sick. So it's just...
finding that right
tricky,
balance.
Yeah, and it does worry me because at the same time, when I'm working, I do have a moan as well and a bit of a breakdown. Like, I can't do this, you know. Like I said, I didn't do well in school. And writing something, it's harder for me than it is for most people who are making telly because it's harder for me to work it all out in the head. So I'm like, I can't do this. I shouldn't be doing it. I haven't got the qualifications. Someone else should be doing this who could probably do it better. And Suzanne's just like, I can't. You always do this. You know this happens every time you get like this over work, but you love it. So just get back in and get on with it. But it is part of the thing. I do like it. I like the struggle. I mean, they sort of say it's the hard stuff in life that sort of keeps you going and a sense of achievement when you get to the end.
That's right. Yeah.
The easy stuff. Yeah, it's easy, but what do you get out of that?
You're challenging yourself.
Nothing. So it's making sure... Again, it's a balance. I don't want to be one of those people who... works all the time where you don't have time to enjoy those walks or me cleaning or, you know, doing the gardening.
Sure.
But it's nice. It's balance. Everything's balance.
Well, before we go, if this is the end of...
Sick of it.
What do you have up the sleeve?
I don't know. I don't work that far ahead. I kind of like to finish something and it's all completely done, put away in a box, don't have to worry about it anymore. And then it's like you hit Control Alt Delete and go, right, what is it I can do now? And you see what comes in, see if anyone sort of gives you an idea of something that you might want to do. But I've never had a plan. Apart from that radio show, like I said to you, the podcast happened because Ricky came up with it. The travel stuff came about because one of Steve's mates who worked in telly sort of came up with it. I think Sick of It came about because I told Sky I didn't want to travel anymore. And they said, well, how about writing something? So I've always kind of been guided, but I'm very good at kind of going, yeah or no. I never want to know how much I'd get for that thing anymore because I don't want the money to be the reason to do something.
That's right.
But I like to sort of just go, let me think about it. And then it's dangerous because the more I think about something, because I am a bit pessimistic,
you can think
I can
yourself
easily
out of something,
definitely.
Can't you?
Yeah. And I always, I can feel it when I start going, oh, yeah, and I've got to pull myself back a bit and go, well, hang on, there was something in it that I liked. So let's focus on that rather than the shit bit. So I have no idea.
I mean, with that in mind, I mean, you know, you think like the Eagles got back together, Fleetwood Mac got back together. Would you, Ricky and Steve, would you ever get the band back together?
But isn't it, when the Eagles got back together, was that any good?
I think so. They called it When Hell Freezes Over because one of them had said, would you ever get back together? And they went, yeah, when Hell Freezes Over.
I just wonder if things have changed. I mean, one of the things people liked, I think, and it's dangerous to try and work out what it is that people like about you, but I think what they liked about the radio show with Ricky and Steve was that they were sort of on the up. They're just on the office. They're like show busy. And then there's me just there to play in the adverts. And I used to get a bit scared when they were swearing and I'm meant to be responsible for them and I could get the sack here.
Yeah.
And I think people like that sort of
Dynamic,
yeah. Say if we go back to it and they can't have grown up. I can sort of hold my own a bit more thanks to them. The stuff they put me through did change me and broaden my mind. That was Steve's aim with all the travel stuff. And I kind of feel like, I think people will feel a little bit like, yeah, it was good. It's good to know that they're not dead, but this sort of ruined what I used to like about it. And maybe, you know, they listen back to it and it takes them back to the time when they were younger and everything. Whereas we'll be sat there talking, they'll go and see a picture of the three of us and go, Jesus, they've aged, haven't they? And suddenly, oh, so have I. And then suddenly it's not the same. I don't think everything can come back. You know, you watch Top of the Pops 2 or Top of the Pops on BBC 4 and you go, oh, it's 1988. Let's watch 1988 and you go, Jesus Christ, what a shit year for music this was. But at the time it was good. Yeah. So, yeah, and you know, Derek B, the rapper, I used to think he was quite cool. And him now I go, what a shit rap this is. I love the beat on the street. And you kind of go, turn it off. So sometimes you just have to leave. I saw Brother Beyond. It was shocking, this song they did. These stupid jeans on. And at the time, it was like, yeah, Brother Beyond.
They were so cool, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were so cool.
And it just, you look back and you can't go back. You can't always go back. And I prefer people to say, oh, it'd be brilliant if you lot got back together and did a podcast. I prefer them to keep that in their head, that would be amazing. Then
the thought of it being amazing.
Which is what I said at the start about a dream. Don't achieve your dream and that. It's the same thing. It's the same point, isn't it?
But I guess the dynamic would be different. So, like, you know, Phil Collins used to play drums in Genesis, then becomes the lead singer. So if you...
I who am I?
You Phil Collins?
Phil Collins, just because he's got a little round bald head.
I love Phil
right,
Collins.
Yeah, right.
What I mean is, if you did get it back, the dynamic would be different. You would hold your own more.
Yeah, but is that what people liked about it? I don't know. Who knows? It could happen because it's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy. You've just got to have a bit of time and three mics, and it's not live. We could do it and see what it's like. But there'd be a lot of pressure on it. I imagine even going in and going, let's just see what happens. We didn't know when we started doing podcasts, we didn't know if that was going to work or not. When I did the travel stuff, I didn't know people were going to be... I just did it because it's like, oh, I'll take the money, it's on Sky. And at that point, not many people had Sky. It's like, oh, no one will see it. Great. And then suddenly it's like, shit, people are watching it.
It's one of the most successful shows in Sky's history, isn't it?
But that's what I'm saying. Suddenly you sit down, there's a different pressure. You know, there's something there that the past, And you're going, will we live up to what we did? And sometimes that's why you've got to move on, because it's very hard to do something when you know something was successful.
Sure.
So I don't know, though. I'm not going to say never, because they say you shouldn't, but he's slim, I think.
In fact, that's why that Bond movie was called Never Say Never Again, because I think Sean Connery had said never.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
It's true. People say, go in the jungle, I'm a celebrity. I know for a fact that's never going to happen. Mate, so let's get that out there. It's never going to happen. So I know that. That's one cert. Yeah.
Why would you? Because I look at Ian Wright. I love Ian Wright.
And I'm, do you know what? I haven't watched it for about three series.
I mean, I did an episode with Ian Wright. I'm from a single
nice
parent.
Nice fella, isn't he?
Single parent family, working class. I relate. I love him so much. He's successful. And I just think, why are you putting yourself through that?
I mean, some people say, oh, I did it because I actually want the experience. And I'm kind of like, well, it's not really real, though, is it? Go to the jungle if you want to go and have a wander. And if you get sick of it, you can go, you know what, I'm going to go home. It's not what I thought. But to be trapped...
And the mercy of the edit, where we can come across like a right punker, can't
they? Yeah, there's that. That's quite scary, isn't it? But I'm also a big lover of, like, insects and that. And I don't like the way people stand on them and all that.
Sure.
I'd be walking around saying, watch where you stand. You've just done on a fucking cockroach.
You're just eating it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. So that's the main reason I could never do it. And I don't want to be stuck in a small place with, you know,
people you
Sunita
might not like.
Or whatever. Yeah, I've never met her. But just being trapped.
Have they repeatedly approached you or taken then?
Yeah, ages ago, and I said no. And I think they know now. I think they. I'm not saying I'm too good for it. It's just that situation not my bag. But it always surprises me when people send me messages going, go in the jungle, go in the jungle. It's like, God, you really don't know me.
Yeah.
You think you know me, but that is never going to happen. That is not me. What makes you think that I'd want to be in there, sort of stuck? It's just, it annoys me a bit because it's like, oh, I kind of thought, because of all the stories and thoughts and empty my mind, that people would understand where I'm coming from. And then they go in the jungle, mate. It'll be top bants. And it's like, don't ever think I'm into any sort of bants. That is so not me. It's like, how can you have listened to all the podcasts and shows and think that I'm that kind of, it'll be a right laugh. I'd love to have a drink in a pub. Don't go in a pub. I don't go in pubs. If I do, it's lunchtime when it's dead. Not Friday night. It's my idea of hell.
Karaoke, yes, please.
I know. Yeah. So, have we got a worm?
Carl, I've got a Twitter thing. I'm not using that, though. But I just want you to know that one is the official one, because there's other knobheads who are pretending to be me and it does me head in. So you're not talking to me on Twitter because I don't do it. So that's the official one, right? That'll be, like, at Carl Pilkington. And I've got a Facebook page that I don't go on it that much. If you're in Australia and you've got any questions, put them on the Facebook thing, and I'll probably stay up late one night and answer a load, so that's in your time. Anyway, I've got some questions that have come through, and these are the sort of things that I get. Kevin LaRocque says, have you ever been to Canada? No, I haven't. James Duran, hiya, is there any plans for Carl to visit Australia in the near future? No, that's why I'm doing these videos, it's too far to go. Probably easier to sort of go to the moon in a way. It's easier on the body because there's no sort of jet lag there. When you get there, you can stay up, you can stay in your own time frame, can't you? Go to Australia, it's like 12 hours difference. So I'd rather go to the moon than to Australia, that's mental. Jason Cox says, hello, my wife and I are watching your show, Moon in the Life. Cheers. Everyone's always nice on Facebook. Jason Cox, he just says that him and his wife are enjoying watching the Moon in the Life new programme. Cheers. Mary Stanley, all right, Carl, it's Wednesday. Tell me what you're working on right now. I'm not working on anything. I just want to have some time off. I've been travelling about. I've got a bad back. It's my L5S1. Sort of gone and worn out a bit. So I'm not doing... I'm well bored at the moment. Again, that's part of the reason I've sort of agreed to do these videos. I haven't got much going on. About 3 days ago, you're not going to believe this, I was sat there trying to make the cat yawn. You know how they say yawning's sort of contagious? I wondered whether it was in the sort of the cat kingdom. I just sat in front of the cat yawning. After about 40 minutes, it yawned. I don't know if I've caused that or it's just bored. But that's the sort of life I'm having at the moment. I'm not up to much at all. Simon Bately, quick question. Would you rather eat shit-flavoured chocolate or chocolate-flavoured shit? Good one. Probably chocolate-flavoured shit, isn't it? And if it tastes nice, then it's not that bad, is it? It's like most food, isn't it? A lot of food, a lot of treats. I like full of shit, but they taste nice. That's why we eat them. So that's what I have. Hello, Carl. Do you speak Portuguese? No. Have you tried a pomegranate? I mean, Jesus. These are the reasons why I don't go on Facebook and Twitter a lot. These are the sort of questions I'm getting. I have tried a pomegranate. It's a lot of messing about. It's the one you eat with a needle, isn't it? I haven't got time. Really. Well, I have got time. I was trying to make a cat yawn the other day. But I don't want to use my time eating a fruit that you have to use a needle to eat the pips with. You know, if you're meant to have five fruits a day, you're going to take up a full day eating fruit if you have to piss about with a needle every time you have a bit of fruit. So I have had one, but I don't like them. I prefer grapes. Just wondering if you've seen the Human Dolls programme on Channel 4. It's mental. Yeah, I did see it, yeah. Right, so that's that.
Listen, I know you've been asked about this a lot, but so many people are texting about it. You had said in the past that you wouldn't be reuniting with Ricky Gervais again or acting again. Is that true?
Well, it's just... I mean, who knows? It might happen. It's just that... God, the amount of stuff we've done together, it's... I don't know. It's like the podcast. I did a book signing yesterday and loads of people were saying, oh, are you doing podcast again? But if we did, I know people would go, oh, they shouldn't have done podcast again. Oh, it's not the same. People always do that, don't they? They wish for stuff, and then when they get it, they go, it's rubbish. Shouldn't have brought it back. Didn't they do it with Dad's Army or something? That's rubbish. So I don't think it's ever good to sort of try and recreate something that was then. You know, we've done about 400 hours of radio stuff. So if that isn't enough for you, you know, you can have too much of a good thing. It's like, do you watch much telly?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Mad Men?
Yeah.
Now, it was great at the beginning. You know, series one, series two, but then it's got to a point where I'm watching it. I'm going,
Where are you now?
I've, to be honest, given up on it. I was on series five, and I just thought this is like Coronation Street. Now we're it in the same storyline.
It rallies again. Go back.
No,
to it.
I'm not. I've been that. I've moved on to Wayward Pines.
Oh,
it's good. It's good.
But do you miss it, Radio? Because for some people, it's a bit cathartic. It lets you have a little rant. Some guys
it.
On the tech saying that we should create a daily slot for you on the station. No, they're loving you.
No, they're not. I think I enjoyed it. Again, it's that thing of going back because things have changed a lot in a lot of radio. And the sort of I worked in music radio. And when I first started off, I did a nighttime show and I was left to my own devices. No one cared. And I just chat away and have the same callers every night, having a chat and all that. And then they go, no, we're changing the format. Now it's more music. You talk twice an hour. And you're thinking, oh, this is rubbish. And I ended up being sort of sacked. So I enjoyed my time in it, but everything's moved on. And I don't want to be one of them people who moans about, you know, keeping a job. Especially in radio, it happens a lot. You must know some producers there who have been there so long that they walk about in slippers. They're that comfortable in the job that they're walking about and they've been there for years and they've got glasses on a little thing around the neck and they're moaning and they're going on about the days when, I don't know, Diddy Hamilton was there or whatever. And you just think, I don't want to be like that. You've got to keep moving forward. And I think I'm pretty good at that. I've done a lot of jobs and you've got to know when to call it a day. And I honestly think I'm on the edge here of the end, which isn't bad. It's just the start of something else. I've got to find something else to have a go at.
What do you mean you're on the edge of the end?
Because it's like you said before, I've become sort of chucked in with all these other celebrity shows you're talking about. And I don't want to be part of that. So I've done this for long enough. There'll be enough people texting in, tweeting into you going, I can't believe he's still getting away with doing what he does. And it's about knowing when to just say, yeah, that's been a good run. You know, I've done 7 books. I've made 30 episodes of travelling about. And I don't... Good on Michael Palin. I mean, I don't know how he does it. David Attenborough. How has he done it? Are we ever going to get anyone like that again with that no. much patience who can keep going and be that enthusiastic about what he does?
And with that much gravitas and weight.
Oh, it's amazing. But I just think, I don't know what it is. I don't know if we're a different species now. I mean, he's 90, so we could be. I don't know how long it takes for us to change.
But you're setting the bar pretty high for yourself if you're thinking Attenborough, Carl. To be honest,
thanks for your support.
I think you're amazing, but you know, we're talking about David Attenborough. He's like not even a human
being.
Yeah,
you've got to. You've got to aim high, haven't you? Who do you look up to?
I try not to.
Kirsty Walker.
My mum.
I don't know. I don't know who's good in your field.
She's brilliant. You're absolutely right.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But by saying that, Carl, going back to the beginning of the end kind of thing, were you looking for this new challenge? Are you going to step away from TV, the spotlight? Is it?
Yeah, I really like it as much as I've enjoyed it and it's paid off the bills and all that. I think I prefer to try and do something away from people sort of coming up to me and going, oh, what are you doing? Have a picture, have a selfie. It's weird because most people who get into this line of work almost do it because they like that. Whereas it all happened by accident for me and I find it a bit overwhelming at times that when people, strangers come up and it's not really what I like. So it would be, it's nice for people to say they enjoy something you do, but it's also a bit not what I'm about, if you know what I mean.
You mentioned Justin Bieber not long ago. He put out a statement online saying that he would not take any more selfies with anybody.
You can't do that though, can you? It's part of the gig, isn't it? You can't have the
good stuff without having the bad stuff.
Yeah, it's that, isn't it? You know, you've got the different coloured Smarties or whatever. They're all part of it. You know, it's you can't expect people to watch your programmes, read your book without wanting a selfie or whatever. But it's just weird because even my mum and dad don't have pictures of me about the house. So it's weird that strangers want a photo of me. But it's the world we live in now, isn't it? Some people don't even say anything. They just come up and stick a camera in your face and take a picture and run off again. And I find that all a bit weird.
What are you going to do instead?
I've been thinking about it. I mean, I only finished a book a couple of months ago, really, so I haven't really had time. I'm just trying to forget everything. I'm trying to teach myself the ukulele at the minute.
Oh, how's that working out?
Not good, because I'm probably too old and my fingers are set in the ways and you have to sort of stretch them a little bit and stuff. But I'm watching YouTube videos, seeing how I'm getting on.
Could you eat a knob at night now?
I wish I never said that, honestly. It's the one thing I hate. What was it that David Baddiel said that time?
When you were saying we were having dinner and Carl was around, David Baddiel was around, and Carl was going, I've done nothing. He's just on the radio, he said nothing. And David Baddiel went, no, you did that song, Knob at Night.
Yeah, that's how I still feel. I don't feel like I've achieved anything that I'm really, really proud of.
Well, his mum phoned him up and said, saw you on telly the other night. She thought he was in the office. It was just a bald bloke fixing my computer. He's going, no, it was you. He's going, it wasn't me. I'd know if I was in the office or not. Yeah. Mm.
That is the sort of job I would imagine you would be doing, though. You'd be fixing something,
stuff,
wouldn't you?
I'd probably be quite happy with it.
Sorting some problem out in the lavatories. Sort of quite a manual job, I reckon.
Yeah. Maybe a courier. That you come in...
Helmet's on.
Yeah, but it's a perfectly round... He wears a pink helmet and they don't see the difference when he takes it off.
To be fair, though, I've had a go at you.
Yeah, but also, I'd like to point out, I don't... It's Ricky who insults him. I don't call him... I don't call you names. I mean, I might sort of stand behind him and sort of cheer him on, like the worst kind of bully's mate.
You know what? I'm going to show you how good I am. I'm not even going
to... No, if you listen back on the old radio shows, he's always having a go at
me. He has a go. He said when he first met Steve, he said it was a shock. He said that. First thing, he said, oh, that's a shock. So what do you mean? He said, well, I've never seen anything like it before. He's telling him to his face. Then he's putting on air that Steve's weird looking. OK? So he started it.
But, like, in the same way that you've sent me on these trips to make me stronger, I think me saying that has done himself up a bit.
Yes. No, he's...
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
So in a way, you've made me a better person.
He went from a weird little goggle-eyed freak to sort of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. God, I suppose I have, in a way.
Hang
Thanks,
on,
mate.
Hang on, what was that picture from that used to be on the notice board in the kitchen at XFM?
It was your favourite, wasn't it?
It's the weirdest picture of you.
It was from The Guardian. And you know when they use the wide-angle lens to get everything in? You were on the edge of it, so your head was really distorted. It looked like someone had picked up Stephen Hawking by the legs and whacked him against a wall.
was right. really weird.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't
and
know
he loved
what
it.
About,
he
really.
Used to go past to go and look at Steve.
Hey, listen, we were both in the Heat magazine Weird Crush. Did yeah. you? How did you get
he
on?
He won. He came number
did
one.
Did he win?
He won. Yeah.
I didn't even win. You see, so I got handed to Carl.
Yeah. I no, lost out better, to though.
Who did I lose out to?
No, he. Him. So he's.
No,
weird,
it wasn't the same. No, it was different years.
Oh, was it? Wow.
Yeah. Have I ever lost it with you?
Pretty perfect, isn't I? I'm pretty perfect.
No, I don't.
I'm
I don't
smart,
think I'd
funny,
I sort of go
good
look, with
good looking, nice
with names. I sort of go, you fucking knob. I don't think you can use that on ITN. But it's more that for me. I don't pick.
Well, they can.
Animals.
They make a special exception for me. They're allow. Yeah. They're allow someone to call me a fucking knob. It's the only thing they said.
Can you
it's
remember?
Actually handed down on parchment. Thou yeah. shalt not say
not,
fucking knob.
Not censor
unless it's against Ricky Gervais. The fucking knob.
When have I lost it with you and sort of? Got annoyed and
yeah, you haven't.
Something.
You haven't. You wanted me to call off the poster campaign when I made that poster campaign. I said around the world, and there was everyone putting up posters of Carl Pilkington, world's roundest head.
Yeah.
And you asked me to stop it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You thought it was demeaning.
It's not glamorous then.
Oh, honest to God, it really isn't. But I remember I met Michael Palin once because he had a book out at the same time as me, and we were chatting about it. And he said, oh, you don't like it, do you? And I moaned about certain things. He went, I know. He said, I feel the same way about it, but people won't understand. So you're better off not moaning about it because people will go, you're really lucky. You could be working, you know, in a pit or whatever.
Well, you did something quite similar to that. You ended up being in a huge suit working in a sewage pipe for this
oh,
book.
Oh, yeah, in one of them. Yeah, in the programme. Yeah, in it was the waste episode, and it's in Mexico where all the drains are open. So soon as you land in sort of Mexico City, that's one of the things that hits you first, the noise and the smell, because all the sewers are open. And it's a fella's job to go into the drains and unclog them of all sorts of, I mean, everything you can imagine. He goes down there and has to unblock it. If it weren't for him, the city would just be flooded with gunge. It's proper, you know, it's... It's not just messing about. I'm looking at topics that... It is a big problem, isn't it, waste? I mean, what do you do with it all? We're creating loads and loads. How often do you empty your recycling bin?
All the time.
And where's it all go? You see, you forget about
it, don't
you?
Know.
Once you've put it in that bin, not my problem anymore. And it was just looking at those things and the rubbish that annoys me. You know, things... I know we need some of it, but there's certain things that annoy me, like... You know, party poppers, stuff like that, that makes a mess, and you go, what was that for? Why have we just made that mess? It sort of takes longer to get the vac out and vac up than it does for that moment of pleasure of just pulling that thing. So it was looking at waste like that as well, the waste that's unnecessary. I mean, I'm not going to pretend here. When I set off on these journeys, I'm not a paxman. I know I'm not going to solve the world's problems or anything, but one that I went... I'm looking forward to. I think the one I look forward to the most, and it's probably did turn out to be my favourite trip, was looking at identity.
Mm-hmm.
My identity and stuff, because it's something I've never really thought about. I don't, you know, you see celebrities on Who Do You Think You Are, and you find out they had a great, 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 great granddad who sort of hurt his leg once, and they start crying. And I just think, you didn't know him 5 minutes ago, and you're bawling your eyes out. What's wrong with you? And I could never understand that, because the only people I link myself to, really, are my mum and dad. Anyone past that, it's a bit different time, and I've never thought about my past, the family tree. You know, I don't even talk to people who are alive and are linked to me, so I don't really want to know about people from years ago. That was my attitude going into it. But then the things we looked at, it was just interesting.
Dressing up as a woman was one of them.
Dressing up as a woman was in there, yeah. It was a man in Newport Beach in that's West Coast America. And his name's Rob. Brilliant bloke. If there's one thing that I like about all this, sometimes you meet people who you just get on with and have a nice day out. And he's into dressing up as a woman. But not just like, you know, bra and knickers and that. He's got a full body suit, rubber suit. So you feel, you know, when you feel your body, you're feeling the body of a woman. And he got me one of them suits. and put it on, and it was a weird day. Do you know when you find yourself in a situation, you go, "This, I never thought this was going to be happening in my life." I used to work as a printer, and I'm here now putting on false breasts and a wig and, you know, a skirt, and I had a really good day.
Why did you have a really good
day?
I don't know,
because I wouldn't have thought that would have been me, but I think his enthusiasm, I think that's what I like. I like meeting people who are really into something that's a little bit weird, but they don't care. It's like they love it, they're not hurting anyone, and they don't care what people think, because a lot of us just, you know, you do as you're told all the time, don't you? We're all living the same sort of life. You know, these trends, everyone's copying the same way of living. And now and again, you meet these people who do something a bit different. And it's what makes life interesting. So I think that rubbed off from him onto me. And yeah, it's probably one of the best things about the job, in a way. There's too much going on in the world, isn't there? And this, you know, you're talking about EU stuff and all. I'm just like, am I missing something? I'm sure if I was tested, someone would say, yeah, you've got... Because everyone's got something wrong with them now, haven't they? I'm sure there'd be some initials for something that's wrong with me. But, yeah, I try. That's all you can do.
You sound pretty normal. That sounds like a fairly normal reaction to those kind of things, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's amazing how intelligent some people are, though. Like, I watch University Challenge and stuff, and I just think, how are they doing that? Where have they kept all that stuff? All that knowledge? There's no way. I mean, they say we're all born with the same brain that's capable, but I don't think we are, are we?
I don't know.
Mine can't keep all that stuff in. I don't. Honestly, it amazes me.
University Challenge is like a league of its own, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's stuff there that, yeah.
I think they should be the ones who are answering about the EU. I think, you know, at least they'll understand it. Get them in a room, the winners, and just say, right, are we in or out? What should we do? There's too many food programmes on the telly anyway, isn't there? You can't. I think probably could blame that for all the obesity at the minute. You can't turn the telly on without seeing a cake.
Did you lose intelligence as well?
I did, yeah.
Is that true, that story about the ape?
Yeah, that was... It was meant to be an episode just all about intelligence. I wanted to work out, you know... Because I'm not the brightest. I'm not the daftest. I don't think, you know... I know I did a programme called Idiot Abroad, but I don't class myself as an idiot. I'd say I'm sort of probably above the middle line of, you know, I'm above average. I'm not going to big myself up, but above average. So I just wanted to look at intelligence. And one of the stories that we were going to do was having a game of Pac-Man with an ape in, I think he was in Japan. And, about a week before we were meant to set off, 2 weeks, I think, got a call saying the ape's pulled out. And I was like, that's the only thing I was interested in, sort of taking on this challenge. And he pulled out, so I said, oh, let's forget that. So we ended up changing the intelligence app to the art episode, which surprised the producers and that, because I said I'd like to do one on art. And they were like, what do you know about art? And I'm sort of like, well, everyone's got a view on art. I think everyone likes some sort of art. You know, you don't have to be all airy-fairy about it and... Oh, what I'm getting there from the colours is this, that, and the other. You just go, I like that. Everything has an effect on you, doesn't it? I like looking at buildings, me. You know, a lot of what I like about London is looking at buildings. I don't really want to go in them and stuff, but just different styles. So, yeah, they said, all right, then, do that. So I got involved in a lot of different art and, you know, tried my hand at it. And then, obviously, wrote about it in the book. A tiny little thing that can happen in life and have that knock-on effect. You know, something really simple, but it's, do you know when they talk about the butterfly effect?
Yeah.
It's that. It's coming up with something and then making a story out of that little thing. Where can that little thing lead the story? And it's my favourite. I didn't realise how much I like coming up with stories. And there was a point when I was at school, I only thought about it when I was doing this because someone else asked me, like, where does the storytelling come from? And I remember, I was rubbish at school, but I remember... We used to get given diaries.
Yeah.
And I think it was a way of teachers keeping an eye on you, really, at like what you're up to in the evening. If you went like, oh, the shoplifting last night or whatever. So you had this diary, and I didn't really go out much. I'd go out on my bike, but most of the time I'd stay in. And I ended up writing about an old neighbour
I had called Mrs. Knowles.
Right.
And I'd just write about going, oh, I haven't seen her today. She hasn't been out. Hope she's all right. Next day, she's been out again. She's been picking up rubbish and chucking it in the next door's garden and all that. And she was, like, really into it.
Right.
There was a point when...
Well, the teacher was.
The teacher, yeah. She never... She thought it was useless at everything else. But even when I stopped doing the diary, she used to come up and go, how's Mrs. Knowles doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, in a way, I've always been interested at, like, looking at other lives. I don't know if you've ever had it where you just get frustrated with yourself and what have you. And if in your head you're not happy, it just messes everything up, doesn't it? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If it doesn't matter, friends or whatever are telling you everything's all right. If in your head you're not happy, it's it's not good. So it's about that. It's about the relationship with me and the brain, the inner self.
Okay.
I think that sort of explains it.
Who'd you prefer being?
What, in this?
Yeah.
Probably the inner self.
Yeah.
It's probably a bit more me than me. It's complicated, isn't it? But I'm all of those things. I'm a mixture of, we all are, aren't we? I was talking to someone the other day and someone asked the same question. And it sort of makes you wonder, like you two now, how much are you being 100% you? Especially when you do telly and a camera's on you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How much of a bog standard 24-hour day are you allowed to just be you? Everything that's going on in your head, you say.
Of course you don't.
So it's kind of, that's what it's about. It's like, who are we, really? Mm. Most of the time we're putting on a show, aren't we?
But what I don't get with that is, and you'll know on Radio 1,
mm-hmm.
Lady Gaga. She's walking around in a dress made of meat, wasn't she?
Yep.
Yet they're calling me an idiot. That's what annoys me. I haven't done anything wrong. There's nothing that I'd see and I go, oh, I wish I didn't say that or react like that. I think most people would react.
Carl,
I'm not an idiot.
Idiot.
I didn't do well at school.
No, it's more to do with the fact that he's got that you know, what you call Little Englander syndrome, where, you know, he packs sliced white bread and tea bags when he goes abroad. So that was the sort of gag.
Because I'm not into the everything's rosy type of stories. Everything works out in the end, because it doesn't in life. It doesn't. You get on with it, and you look back at stuff and go, well, it wasn't that bad, was it? But I don't like the sort of... I'm trying to think of the sort of films I'm talking about. Just those films where everything's ticked off. Yeah, everyone's happy. It's like it doesn't happen. But that isn't a bad thing either. As long as you learn from your mistake or whatever, you move on. And it's weird with me because in my life, a lot of memories that I've got are the bits where it didn't quite work out or it's rough time.
Yeah.
But they're the ones you look at and go, oh, remember that? You know, that struggle. It's a good time, that.
That's right.
It's sort of, close. It's like you're on the edge of this could all turn to shit or it could happen. And you haven't quite got enough money, but you're getting by and you're going, this might be it.
Because that's the adventure, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. And once you've got it, it's never as good anyway, is it? It's like a dream.
Mate, 100%.
A dream, you know, it's kind of like don't achieve your dreams because it won't be as good and then you've got to think of a new dream because you've got that one. So for me, when I was younger, it was always getting on the radio. That's the one thing.
So when you were a kid, you wanted to be on the radio?
Yeah, by about the age of 11, I was rubbish at school, did rubbish at school, but there was always music on in the house. My mum always had the radio on, brother and sister had music, and after school I'd sort of draw. I'd sit at the top of the stairs just drawing with Piccadilly Radio on. And in Manchester.
Mate, and I had the exact same life.
Yeah.
I'd sit in my bedroom, drawing, listening to Steve Wright on Radio 1
or
something
like that. And I used to hear them, and I liked, back then radio was different, wasn't it? Now it's all, how many songs can we play in an hour? We've got another four coming up non-stop, keep listening. There.
So true. Adverts.
Whereas then, it was like local people talking about stuff that, at places I knew, and the accents were like mine, and I kind of related to them, and I liked the way...
That is so true. Yeah. We're making this. We don't care whether anyone likes these shows or not. We don't care. We'd rather they enjoyed it. of course, but we're not interested. We just say, it's not for you then. We don't care about anything.
You care that some people like it.
Well, because you get the chance to make it again. That's the only reason we care. But if anyone says, do you want to make another one, that's all that matters to us.
He doesn't want to make another. Are you going to the third series?
No, the, I mean, if there's anything, there's
I've come up with another idea.
What is it?
It's him and Warwick Davis going round, Carl on a bike with Warwick in the basket.
That's all that and that is the idea, Richard. That's as far as it goes. I said, what then? That's 10 seconds of title sequence.
Where's the bike gonna go?
It'd be going around sort of like weird sort of events and festivals of England, and they'd be great. It's like two fat cooks.
Yeah, but the difference is there. They took it in turns to cycle and that. Warwick's legs aren't going to reach the thing. It's always going to be me cycling him about. And even though he's small, he's still heavy, you know. Mm. I've had him sat on my lap, which is an odd thing to say out loud. But Ricky sorted it out for him to come in and sit and have a chat with me once. And he's heavy for a little
fella. Weren't there any chairs? Why was he sat on your lap?
There wasn't a chair for him, was there?
No, there was only two. I only ordered two.
Right.
Oh. Carl, I'm so grateful to have you on, so thanks. Thanks ever so much.
No, you know, I don't get asked to do that much stuff, to be honest. So it's not really a perk or anything you've got here. It's not. But a lot of the time I can't be bothered because I feel like I've got nothing to say, in
sure.
a way. But it's all been said.
But do you not think that... But that authenticity, I think, is why that's... that. I mean, this is a compliment. I don't want to make you awkward or anything, but I think people love you so much because you are honest. There's no, I mean, we were chatting before, there's no BS, is there, you know?
Well, it's easier that way because I just think you get caught out, don't you? Because people remember stuff.
Must be exhausting.
In fact,
as well.
They remember stuff more than I do because that's the one thing that is weird, you know, when, because like I said, I've done podcasts and all that, done books written about stuff that's happened in my life or whatever. And people remember it more than I do.
Yeah.
So they come up and say, oh, I love that thing you talked about. And it's kind of like, what? And it's weird. It's really, it's like I've got dementia or something and people are almost like a family member and they're telling me stuff that I've gone through. But yeah. I'm like, what? Yeah. And then the more they explain it, I go, oh, yeah, I remember that. But to me, it happened to me once or I said it once.
And why would you
why would I listen back? And it's funny how, you know, people sort of remembered all the detail that I talked about. But to me, it's gone. And I feel like with all the travel stuff and everything that I've done, you know, it's almost like I've done too much in a short space of time. And I can hardly remember any of it. It's like snapshots. All the travel that I've done, there's some people who live a lifetime and sure. don't go to all the places they've been to. So to do it all in the space of like 4 years, I think I went around the world like 2.5 times or something. So you kind of have little snapshots, but it was all too much for me. And my brain can't... I know my brain's not that good, really. There's loads of problems with it. But one of the things is like memories and stuff really flaky now. So... it is weird. That's I'll never get used to that either. People coming up and how is your you know Uncle Stan and all that.
Sure,
it's like it died ages ago.
Yeah,
and then they're shocked. It's almost like they're sad about that because I should have warned. Sort of.
By the way, before we chat, the following things have happened.
Yeah, you know. A little catch up, like one of those things you get before a program previously. a little, but yeah, it's odd. But my point was there that yeah, you can't really bullshit. And it's better not to. What's the point?
Totally.
What's the point?
In terms of that memory thing, you know, there's an American comedian called Jay Moore, and he said he made a movie with Eddie Murphy.
Right.
And he's a big Eddie Murphy fan, and he said he was quoting Eddie Murphy's material back to him from the earlier... Oh, do you remember this on Raw? Do you remember this on Delirious? Do you remember this on... And he said it was so obvious that Eddie Murphy didn't know what he was talking... And he was going, oh, yeah... And then he goes, of course, because Eddie Murphy's lived that. Why would he still remember stuff from 1982?
I've probably done a lot more since.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. You can't remember it all. It's just, you know, you sort of move on. And especially on that travel stuff that I did, because it was always a bit of a shock to the system anyway, you know. And if you're dealing with something as a surprise, I think it's like your brain's getting rid of stuff you don't need to remember anymore to deal with what's in front of you now, I think.
Yeah.
It was all like...
I think that is a thing.
It's hard to explain, but...
Your brain can only store so much.
Yeah.
And I think your brain, from what I understand,
makes the call, you don't need this anymore.
I know.
The stuff that's happening now is more important.
So that's annoying, though, isn't it? When it remembers a bit, but not enough to be useful.
Yeah.
It's like, well, forget it all, then.
Yeah.
Don't bother remembering that you once, you know, that's what happens on quiz shows and stuff. You sort of have a question, and you go, I know this, and you do, but you don't. And it's kind of like, just forget it, then. just it's better off just going, I don't know.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, it is crowbarring it in. I suppose the sick of it thing that I've been doing is about that relationship with me and me brain and the way it thinks and stuff like that. But I always felt like it was a tough thing to switch from, you know, going from like the podcast stuff to the travel stuff to this is quite a big leap. And it's been really hard for people to sort of, they were like, I'm not expecting that. I'm not expecting it to be like that. Thought it was going to be a bit bit dafter, or, you know, I want to wear like the stuff from you. And it's like, well, it is from me. It's just that it's kind of my thoughts and worries, but put into a little story. And it's funny how they struggle. A lot of people who are really into what I do, it was a bit too much for them. They're like, oh, I couldn't get my head around what you were trying to say then. But you've got to do what you want to do. You can't. I could have quite easily just kept doing, you know, radio or podcasts or travel. But there comes a point when you go, I'm done with that.
Totally.
And I don't just want to go and go through with it just to take the money. You know, it worked because what was going on in my head during those travels was what was going on in my head. I wasn't comfortable. But if you keep getting put into situations, you get used to it. There was a point when Bear Grylls probably went, oh, I don't know about drinking my own piss. I don't know if I can do it. Now he loves it. And it's not the same, is it? If he was on I'm a Celebrity, people wouldn't enjoy watching him because
it's not a challenge.
So you've got to sort of know when to go, enough's enough. And I'm going to have a go at something else. And maybe some people drop off and go, oh, it's not for me. But I hope that some other people went, well, I didn't like his other stuff, but I like this. But it's quite hard to get people who have made up their mind about you to give you a go.
Absolutely.
On something else. It's so hard.
I said, Carl, do you want to be an extra for a laugh, just for the Pilkey fans out there? And he went, no. I went, oh, go on. He went, no. I said, it's pork chop catering, pork chop. He went, all right, how long will it take? I went, 20 minutes. He went, all right. So got him a car, he came down, he had pork chops, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I'd said to the makeup people, I said, make him look as gimp as possible. So they put on this awful sort of curly wig, gave him a moustache. He looked amazing. But he was comfortable with it because he was sort of hiding behind it. And then just before we shot it, we whipped his wig off. And it was like we'd woken up a baby bird and thrown him out the nest. He was really uncomfortable. It's actually on one of the outtakes, and it's him. I'm crying with laughter because he's looking around. Everyone's looking at him, and he said, this is like a nightmare. And so we thought it was funnier with his little bald head and the moustache, and it worked, didn't it?
But what's interesting about that, Carl, is you were comfortable hiding behind a bit of a mask. You were comfortable watching yourself as a cartoon on the Ricky Gervais show. Maybe you should do some acting.
Maybe you should pop on a Nambas, because then that's like, we've dressed up your genitals. It's a completely different set of genitals, and so it's not your genitals in a way. What do you think of that, Carl?
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Five Live. The thing is, I can't remember words.
Right.
So, like, Ricky got me to do an advert for one of his stand-up things. How long was it? 30 seconds. I can't remember. I'm not got to be an actor. You've got to have a good memory. If it was that thing where they just go make it up,
yeah,
I can do that.
You can't remember 30 seconds.
Well, that's what I do.
Honestly, it's really hard.
My film roles. Yeah. I just make some on the day. Is that all right?
I can't do that. It's a tricky bit of
just for Carl. What do you say to those people who say because of your mental disability that I am bullying you and exploiting you? What do you say to those people?
Carl, interesting question, Carl.
It's been asked a lot, but no one's stepping in, are they? No one's helping, are they? It's gone on for 10 years. They say what goes around comes around. When's it coming round, then? When's something going to happen to him? When's something going to squeeze his head?
What you're saying is, if people are accusing him of bullying, why aren't they actually rather
just
words?
What are they doing about it?
What are they doing about it? Oh, this is bullying. All right. Well, what are you watching it for then? It's ridiculous. Of course, not bullying. We're friends. You know, it did. All these people would rather whinge about. They've all got their conspiracy theories. But what are we meant to do?
Well, yeah, that's what you're talking about, isn't it? You don't know. It's tricky getting a sponsor on that, like one that you care about, rather than hearing. I hear other podcasts where they're going, you know, so and so fresh underpants. Get them free. Buy an order now. Get an extra pair. Da da da. And you're kind of thinking, Jesus, really selling your soul.
I don't need any more craft beer in my life.
That's the other one.
I'm all right for a website.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's all that. It's all
so
that.
So therefore,
stuff.
It just you just become the norm. And what we kind of, I kind of go, well, we've done this from scratch. I kind of don't want to throw it all in the bin now. And
it
just
depends,
sell out.
On it, if you need it to keep it going and all that. But it's tricky.
Well, every little helps, doesn't it?
But yeah.
There you go, Tesco. They could come on board, couldn't they?
Oh, just something linked to it, though, isn't it? If it was cinema or something, or something that you sort of, yeah. It sits well with it.
Or something that people, just something that people would genuinely use. Go, yeah, I need 15% off that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what, I don't know.
Tricky.
Do you need anything in your life at the moment?
Do I need anything? You don't need that much, do you? It's, for me, it's, I actually enjoy the thinking if I need it.
What the time and the space to think?
Yeah, but like recently, there was a case when I was thinking about getting a table tennis table.
Why? For fun, just for exercise
or
fun?
Yeah. And I enjoy that bit of, all right, well, I could just go out and buy one.
Yeah.
But I like that thing of, all right, well, how much are they? I have no idea how much they are. All right, well, would I get a cheap? I mean, it's a table. Why is the price so different? Why is it a really expensive one and a cheap one? All right, we'll go for the middle one. Which one do I want? And I enjoy that, how much do I want it, to the point that I went downstairs, I was going to put it in the garage if I got it. And I went in the garage and just imagined playing table tennis in that space. To me, with myself, just like, you know, getting a sweat on. And then I realised I didn't want one.
What was the realisation?
Just like, I'd get bored of this. I'd get bored
quickly.
Of it. Yeah. And I was thinking, who would I play with? Someone's got to be there. And I was thinking, could I put it against the wall and play? And I, just having all that, I know it sounds mad.
No.
But it's that thing of, I've trialled it.
Yeah.
And I've worked out, I don't need it. So there's a lot of people who just go, I want a table tennis table. I'm going to get one, order. Oh, I'm not really using it. Put it over there. And that's that.
Yeah.
So I don't need, that's what, the question was, what do I need? I don't know.
Well, I suppose it's always, it's the need or the want. I always say, like, to my little lad, you know, he's just learning, no, I want that. Yeah, you want it, like, but you don't need it. It's not going to sort of help you out or enrich you or change anything, really.
I think it's just nice to know that if you wanted it, you could have it, but how much do you want it? I don't really want it. But it's nice to know you could have the thing.
But do you think about that as opposed to the table tennis table?
With everything.
With everything.
Do you go through that? I don't rush in. I'm not...
impulsive.
God, no. No. I'm a bit, I'm not good at, mind you, I'm saying not good at it. I'm saying that's a good thing.
I think it's a positive thing, because otherwise you've
you're
got a table tennis table
money,
in the garage.
Next to the
dust.
Bread machine, next to the popcorn maker,
Someone gave my wife a bread machine.
Of course, that's what they do. No one's ever bought one. It's always passing them on.
Why do you need it? Do you know where it is? It's just sat on the bottom shelf in the pantry. It's been there for 2 months.
They're
gathering
quite
dust.
Chunky them as well, aren't
they're
they?
They're fucking massive. I could have had loads of bottles of water there or something.
Yeah. And it's like, God, it's not hard. There's 24-hour shops are open. If you need bread, go and get a loaf. It's not worth the fannying about.
And no doubt in a few months that bread maker will be passed on to somebody else.
Definitely.
And it'll probably come full circle.
Yeah.
And come back to us at some point.
And end up back on that shelf collecting that. So, I do. I overthink. I drive Suzanne up the wall with just like, just get it. Just buy it if you want one. It's like, no, I'm enjoying the process of working out if I want one.
I wouldn't necessarily think, personally, overthinking things in life is seen as a negative or a bad thing at all. I think it's positive. I think it is good.
Yeah, I suppose as long as you're not letting it stop what you want to do.
Does that ever happen with you, that it stops you or stops somebody else? Like you say, Suzanne, does it drive her up the wall? But what would she rather have? A clutter-free garage or a dusty table tennis table? You know what I mean? As an analogy.
She just wants me to be happy.
And are you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think.
Because the little I know you, you've always seemed content and happy.
I am, but even that's a bad word these days, isn't it?
What?
When you're saying content.
I said content in an interview the other day because I was. I was genuinely content.
I know, but they say you should want more than that.
Why?
I don't know. It's just the world we live in, isn't it? It's like, you know, only here for so long and push yourself and all that stuff.
Yeah, but by saying you're content doesn't equate to laziness. It's just like, I'm actually really, I feel lucky and I'm happy with my lot.
Yeah, but like I was saying to you in the lift coming here, people it's funny, isn't it? Because a lot of people say you should live in the moment, but in all those interviews I've been doing of late, they're all talking about what you're doing next, what you're doing next.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm here to talk about the thing I've just done.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what's next.
No,
and that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. I'm not hiding anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've just this minute finished this. It's not even been on the telly yet. So can we just like talk about this?
Yeah.
And then if anything comes up in the future, you'll find out because
I'll
be talking to you again, won't I?
And then you'll no doubt ask me what else is after this.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
They will. So I think that's the world we live in. It's just content doesn't fit into that, does it? It's like you should want more. You know, people, I don't know, does it mean that you're full of energy and that? It's like, oh, he's doing a lot. He's doing that now. He's doing this. He's doing that. Well, I'm doing nothing. I just want
to. Yeah, but that's all right as well to do nothing.
Well, the other thing with me is I do struggle to know if I'm enjoying the thing that I'm doing. Like now, I don't know if I'm enjoying this. It's fine.
What, me and you talking?
Yeah, just being here, doing this.
Yeah.
For me, it's always later on.
That you'll think about it.
I'll think about it and go, oh, enjoying it. And that's everything. It's nothing to do with you. That's like, we went away on holiday about 4 weeks ago, and when I was there, Suzanne was sort of going, this is good, isn't it? And she was like, oh, mind you don't know yet, do you? And she knows that when I get home, after it's been and gone, she's like, right, what did you like about it? And I'll go, oh, yeah, that was good, and that was good. But at the time, I'm waiting for it to go wrong, I think. I'm waiting for something to annoy me or something, just something to go wrong on that holiday.
So is that a worry in you, like, in general in life and everything?
Yeah.
What about if you and Suzanne go out for a meal and you're having a meal and that's an immediate thing, an immediate reaction?
If I'm away on holiday, I'm thinking, I don't know this place. Am I going to have the shits in an hour?
Right, okay.
So everything's, I'm always thinking, oh, what if, like, I just can't enjoy things. I never go, woo, I've never done that. And that's, you need to be in the moment, don't you? When you're doing something,
yeah.
You're sort of like, yeah, I don't have that because I'm not that relaxed with the moment.
Right. What about watching a film? Do you have to, can you enjoy, watch the film and go, I enjoyed that bit or that made me laugh? Or is it contemplation afterwards?
I think, well, again, I'm thinking about it after, like I said, but I quite like that as well. I do like that thing of, a couple of days later when you go, do you know in the film when that happened?
Yeah.
A lot of films you watch and you don't say anything about them. It just happened,
no,
don't
they? No, because loads of rubbish. Go,
yeah, so you don't care.
Yeah.
But if it's a good one, one I struggle to understand and it stays on your mind and then you talk about it a few days later, there's another example, I suppose. I suppose things that people do that they enjoy in the moment, it's normally mad stuff, isn't it? Like jet skis and stuff. I can't imagine...
A little bit, but, like, if I'm eating, a really nice sandwich, I'm eating it, I'm going, oh, I'm loving this sandwich, that's tasting really good. And maybe an hour afterwards I go, yeah, I really love that sandwich, but personally I won't eat the sandwich and then go, I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I will do in an hour. Do you know what I mean?
No, but can you enjoy it? Say, like me, if I had a bacon, lettuce, tomato, some chips... When I'm eating that, a little bit of me is worrying that this is quite a juicy sandwich. And I'm a messy eater.
Right.
So I'm so busy sort of trying to shove it in without it going down my top or whatever that I'm not 100%
right.
Enjoying it.
I understand.
Maybe if someone said to me, how was your sandwich? I'd go, yeah, it was all right, that, yeah.
Because I got away with it and I've still got a clean shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's annoying. It's kind of...
I think just people are programmed differently, aren't they? And some really do live in the moment. But if that's not how you are, I don't think I can change that. I think that's just how I am.
All right, this is Yak speaking. Hope you have a good 2021. Sick of 2020. And take care, stay safe.